much about.
So easy.
You
gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies, this isn't some pillow fighting slumber sleepaway camp for sexually frustrated women. You're here to work.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This next song is heard only on your better music stations. Well, of course, if you don't listen to the better music stations or buy the better albums, then you don't hear the better music.
And now,
stay here with me. Get in on the ground floor of this thing. Who knows? This could turn out to be a big hunk of bull. But it'll be our hunk of bull.
Our feature presentation.
I miss Weeds.
I know.
Thinking of him.
They were so good.
That's a good show.
The yelling goats, though, that's never ceases to be funny to me.
That's a bizarre new trend, isn't it?
It is, and I love
remixes
it.
Remixes with goats.
I love it.
Like, how did that happen? Hey, Chip, it's so great to see you again, man. I remember when we used to come in and it was Beer Mug behind the controls there. It's just so awesome now that it's you. I just, it's really
studio
an upgrade here on the show. Yeah, it's nice. There's none of that yelling, none of that screaming. We can put our food down and we don't have to worry about it being sucked up if we turn our backs. That's nice.
Not Chip anymore. It's Beer Mug again. I'm here.
You came back?
I'm back.
We thought you died.
I thought you, yeah, I heard you were dead.
Much to your chagrin, no. I'm alive.
Who told us he died?
What?
I think Doc told you.
God damn it.
Right?
Just wishful thinking, I guess. You didn't get fired or anything? You still work here?
Still employed.
It was so nice last week having Chip.
She couldn't reach the controls.
She couldn't reach the controls. That was funny.
Her little T-Rex arms weren't doing her any favors, that's for sure. Well, this is a disappointing way to start a week, I'll tell you that. All right, before we get started, kids, what's your feeling on, you get to run things, you get to be the president of everything. When you're in charge, what's your feeling on businesses, particularly a number of news stories that involve Christian organizations, colleges and whatnot, who make their employees sign morality disclaimers, basically, that says, I'm not going to have premarital sex, I'm not going to get pregnant, I'm not going to, in some cases, drink in public. I mean, there's all sorts of things they can ask you to do. Do those things seem legal to you?
I don't know.
Or is it just it's a contract, it's a private business, and you agree into that contract, and you adhere by those rules, and that's the way it is?
I don't know. I don't know how Japanese business works.
Because there have been a whole bunch of stories. There's a woman in Florida. A woman in Texas who got pregnant, and they said, you can't be unmarried and pregnant working here at this place. So she said, okay, I'll get married. I'll go ahead and get married. I was going to get married next year, but I'll go ahead and rush it out so I get married immediately so that it's well before the baby comes, if that's okay. And they said no. They fired her anyway. That one's going to court. Here's a woman in Ohio who got fired for becoming pregnant through artificial insemination. She didn't even have premarital sex, but she was at the age and the place in her life where she said she really wanted to have a baby, so she was artificially inseminated. They fired her because she was going to be unmarried and pregnant.
Oh, I see.
Now, there's a news story just in the news this past week, and you're going to be predisposed to hate this woman because Gloria Allred is her attorney.
Yeah,
that's not
that's
good.
That's a bad sign.
She's working for the San Diego Christian College, and she had also signed a provision agreeing to not engage in sexually immoral behavior, including premarital sex. They're deciding, by the way, that premarital sex is sexually immoral behavior, in case you're wondering.
Yes.
She said, hey, I needed a job in this economy. I never thought that it would happen, but she ended up being pregnant. She was pulled into her supervisor's office last fall where she was asked if she was pregnant, and then she was let go. So she lost her job. Now, here's the part, Lisa, that's really going to make your head spin out. Who do you think they replaced her with but her boyfriend, the one who got her pregnant?
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were talking about it, it's all women and they've all been caught, quote unquote, because they got pregnant.
Because they got pregnant.
But you know that a bunch of those guys are having sex.
Of course. And the girls probably could get away with having the sex too if they didn't get
knocked up
because they wouldn't get found out unless they, you know, there's a porn video or something like that came out that it became evident. But what about firing the girl for being pregnant? because that shows she had the premarital sex. But then hiring the man who impregnated her. What about that?
That's such a win for her. That lawsuit is going to pay off.
I think so, too.
That doesn't seem like that's got to be completely indefensible unless they're willing to go on the stand and say, we don't make our male employees sign this form. Only women are the ones who aren't allowed to have premarital sex.
Well, that wouldn't be fair either. I don't think.
But is any of it fair? Can you actually tell somebody, hey, you can work here 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, but you can't have sex when you go home or on the weekends? Can you even tell people that?
It's tricky with the religious thing. It's the same with the birth control. You know, they are able to opt out of providing, at least as far as I know. At this point, they're able to opt out of providing birth control for their employees, even though legally they are supposed to do that, but because they're a religious organization.
This question is above my pay grade.
Mine too. It's very confusing, but it seems very wrong.
It certainly does. It certainly seems wrong to say, you young man can do this, you young woman cannot. That
Where's the outrage there?
Well, that's a great question, Beer Mug. Glad you're back just to ask that. So anyway, we will keep you posted. Again, I wish it were anyone but Gloria Allred, but they are suing the school, and it'll be interesting to see how that one shakes out, because that's a crazy story.
Oh, yeah.
She just looks up which stories are going to get the most cameras and then takes that particular client. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hi, I'm Kevin.
How dare you? How dare you?
I'm very alarmed.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com today, as we do on Mondays.
Uh-huh.
Check in with him about the celebrities and all the nutty stuff they're doing. I don't know if you've heard about this $2 million treasure hunt that's going on.
A little bit, not much.
Some old dude buried a casket full of gold. I don't know. I haven't followed the story.
You haven't heard anything either?
Bean has actually been following the story a little more than I have. But.
Diamonds, rubies, jade, gold coins, $2 million worth. Yeah, and it's hidden in the woods somewhere, and the first person who finds it gets to keep it. It's become America's scavenger hunt.
Strange middle names we're going to talk about today as Adam Laker's Corolla joins us on the program.
By the way, I'm going to let him tell you the story, Kevin. But remember last week when you assumed, I think as probably we all did, well, his parents must have been big Lakers fans.
Right.
Not at all related.
What?
Not even a little bit to why his middle name is Lakers.
You were making fun of Dave so big when he said, is it because of the Lakers? You're like, no, Dave,
well,
it's not because of the Lakers.
Because what sense does that make?
I'm not saying it's not because of the Lakers. I'm saying it had nothing to do with his parents being Lakers fans. And I'll let Adam explain later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't get that distinction.
Interesting.
Okay.
They didn't name him that because they were fans of the Lakers. Some
Correct.
Other reason is what
Correct.
Is what he's saying. Also on today's show, we have Chris Hardwick from The Talking Dead with The Walking Dead.
I didn't see it.
Talking about The Walking Dead. That
Lisa.
Was easily the best of the season.
I know.
I don't know. It's hard to even pick these days because they're all the best episode you've ever seen. Last week was the same way. It was great, though, Lisa. We're going to ruin every minute
of it.
I know.
It happens almost every week now.
We're going to destroy that show for you. Forget not wanting to watch it. You're going to want to throw your TV out the window when you get home.
Most people get a spoiler alert, but when you work on the show and you don't see it, you're screwed. Because we do talk to Chris all about the episode. That's coming up today. Wow, that was great. I got to tell you, that was a really good episode. We sent Doto out on the streets. Doe contacted us and said, you know what? Beer Mug's interviews are not really what they should be for the program.
He is criticizing Beer Mug.
He is, yes.
Excellent.
And we said, well, do you have some advice? And Doto said, I'd like to try it myself. So
did he really say, Kevin? I'd like to try it myself, Kevin and Bean. I'd like to make it in entertainment, Kevin and Bean. Do you think that I can make it in show business, Kevin and Bean?
I ran into Doto in the parking lot. Did I tell this on the air or off the air?
Off the air.
I think it was just off.
Ran into Doto in the parking lot when he was going to go do these interviews. And I said, Do, what's going on? And he said, effing traffic. And I said, where do you come from? Where do you live? And he's like, Bean, everybody knows I live in Orange County. I thought, first of all, I'm not Bean, but let's get to the part where everybody knows you live in Orange County. How's that possible?
He is the international man of mystery, man. You can't figure out Doto. Come
on. He's the best. And also at 7:15 this morning, we have April Foolishness details, all of them.
Yay! So cool.
We're going to tell you the show is happening. We're going to tell you when. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you ticket information, everything that you need to know at 7:15 this morning. And we're going to give away tickets for April Foolishness, the first pair.
Wow.
So that's all coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz beat next.
Maybe I've just been watching too much of that The Americans show, that Kerry Russell show with FX on FX. But I never imagined I'd come in today and find out that we are sending our listeners to Russia.
Duh.
That's where they're going.
Duh.
Destination number 8 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013 is Depeche Mode in Moscow. What's up with that? And a chance to score their latest album, Delta Machine. We'll have that for you at 9:10 this morning right here on the World Famous.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Are you watching that show, Ralph?
I've got them all backed up on the, old DVR, but I've not gotten to them yet.
Kevin, back me up on this. Really good show.
So good, yeah.
Really okay, good. All right. I'll watch
it. Watch it.
I'm just saying.
How come you have it out?
I'm
going to
go watch it now.
No, not now.
Well, not right now.
I want to watch Americans.
No, we need you to come back in for showbiz.
You can't have everything. Can't have your cake and eat it too, okay?
Don't be bad. That's all we're saying.
That's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's 5:50. Let's make it 4. Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Let's make it 5.
Let's make it 5:55.
Yeah, let's make it 5:55 and a half.
All right.
Now, go. Mark your watches. Monday morning means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, and although it did well enough to make it number one, a little bit of a disappointment, underperformed expectations. Jack the Giant Slayer was number one at the box office in 3D. $28 million made it number one.
That seems pretty good. What were their expectations?
Well, it's a major, big-budget blockbuster action film, and it made $28 million in its opening weekend. Mm. Not exactly what they were hoping for. It cost $200 million to make. Just to give you some perspective.
Wow.
They were hoping for probably 40 to 50 in the opening weekend just to give it a little oomph.
Wow.
But turns out people hate giants. I've always said that. Especially ones who live on islands. They're very dangerous.
That's true.
Yeah. Identity Thief was number 2 at the box office with $9.7 million. 21 and over. The new hilarious comedy about that kid who turns 21 and then drinks a lot. That's every 21-year-old.
It is.
Number 3 at the box office with $9 million. The Last Exorcism Part 2 and Snitch were the top 5. Then Escape from Planet Earth, Safe Haven, Silver Linings Playbook, Good Day to Die Hard, and Dark Skies. Rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. It happened late Friday. We need a chance to talk about it. But TV star Bonnie Franklin passed away on Friday from pancreatic cancer. She was best known for playing Ann Romano on the hit show One Day at a Time for many seasons, which launched the career of Valerie Bertinelli, who played her daughter on that show, and also launched the drug habit of Mackenzie Phillips,
yes.
Who also played her daughter on that show. While we're talking about TV legends, remember a Half Pint from Little House on the Prairie, Melissa Gilbert?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
She also did a spin as the president of the Screen Actors Guild. Well, she's engaged now to the guy who played Elliot from 30-something, Timothy Busfield, who was also on West Wing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they're a happy couple now. So congratulations to those two.
Celebrities are only allowed to marry other celebrities, right?
Well, that's the law.
That's how it works.
I don't know how it is now that we're sequestered. I don't know if maybe that law is going to be
different. Oh, it might be different, yeah.
Because I don't think they had the financing for the celebrity romance board any longer. We'll have to wait and see. And here's a Honey Boo Boo update. She is in serious, serious trouble with the Girl Scouts. I told you last week that she was selling Girl Scout cookies online.
Right.
Also autographing the boxes and sending you an autographed picture if you bought her Girl Scout cookies.
Sounds very industrious. Sounds like that's the way to sell a lot of cookies.
Well, the Girl Scouts of America say that's a no-no. You are not allowed to sell the cookies online because the whole point is to learn people skills as well as other important lessons by selling the cookies either in a public place or door-to-door.
People skills being... are things that teach you how to deal with other people and
that
their personalities.
Worthless.
Bean's got his
What's
head cocked now, like a German Shepherd hearing a high-pitched whistle.
People what skills. Are you talking about? Wait, there are other people?
So they told her she had to shut the whole thing down on her Facebook page. She can't sell the cookies anymore. Another problem? Honey Boo Boo is not a Girl Scout.
What?
That's another problem they have with her issue.
Where are the cookies coming from?
A friend. A family friend, apparently. She was taking the cookies from a friend and then selling them on her behalf on her own website and
That's awesome.
Facebook page.
Funny.
You don't want her as a spokesperson for anything you do, right?
Look, if the troop needs dollars, you don't care how you get them as long as you move those cookies, baby. Move those thin mints.
I feel sad.
Yeah.
Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
How many boxes of Thin Mints have you had so far this season, Beer Mug? I just wonder how many have you put down?
I'm going on about 18 boxes.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
Not the weekend, since I started selling them.
I'm out of time, but in the next Showbiz Beat, in about an hour, I will give you an update on that former Miss Teen Delaware, Melissa King, and her porn career. A lot of details coming out about that story we haven't gotten to yet. Today's celebrity birthday is Catherine O'Hara. How talented is she?
She's the best.
You know from all the Chris Guest movies like Best in Show and A Mighty Wind, 59 years old today. Michael T. Williamson, very talented actor from 24, and Forrest Gump is 56. Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond in the Middle is 55. Actor Steven Weber from Studio 60 and the Sunset Strip and Wings, super talented guy, 52 years old. Evan Dando, singer of the Lemonheads, is 46. Fergal Lawler of the Cranberries, he's their drummer, he's 42 years old. And director Paul W.S. Anderson, who brought us the Resident Evil movie, celebrates his 48th birthday. He's also married to the star of the Resident Evil movies, Mila Jovovich, so he's got that going on. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
A little over an hour from right now, all the details you've been waiting for the latest Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. April Foolishness 2013. We'll tell you when it's going to be, who's on the bill, how much the tickets are, where you can buy them, and all that good stuff. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Isn't that like the best night?
Yes,
it is.
It is
the best night, yeah.
So much fun. Anyway, that's coming up a little over an hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Mumford & Sons. Kevin, I don't know if you're ready for a new Mumford album yet, but the band is. They're working on it. In fact, they are so excited about recording their third album that they have set up rehearsal spaces backstage when they are in concert these days. Before they go out on stage, they start working on new songs and working them out and practicing them, playing them.
It's funny. We ask a lot of artists about that, and they usually don't like to do that.
No, yeah. That's true.
Usually their head's in whatever they got to do that night, and they're not really in a creative place. But apparently Marcus Mumford and the guys are able to do it all.
Is it going to be more like Babel?
Well, it's interesting you should ask, because they recently caught up with Rolling Stone magazine, and they said they like their first two albums very, very much, but they're not desperate to make the same record again. They'd like to do some new things on the record. Those albums are brothers, they said, maybe this new album could be a cousin. And one of the things
does the cousin play a banjo?
The cousin might rap.
Oh.
The cousin
yes,
might
please.
Rap.
Where do I sign up?
I don't know how many white British guys you need rapping, but we wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Dave to line up our friend Marcus Mumford, and I believe he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Marcus.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you doing today? It's a pleasure to be on the phone and on your show. And on your show.
Well, we appreciate that. I'm going to try not to ask you too many questions, but
I appreciate that, because when I answer a question, it can go on and on, and I just keep talking, and I talk real low.
What kind of sounds like hip-hop, Mumford says to Rolling Stone magazine. We really want to rap. We've just got so much to say, and saying it through a melody doesn't really work for me. And here's the part I love the most, Kevin. We've been talking with Jay-Z about it.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
It's going to be a fresh experience for our band. What? How? Please explain, Marcus.
We've got lots of things that we want to say that we can't say with a banjo and a big drum that I keep stepping on and a playing guitar.
Look, congratulations on all the success of Mumford & Sons, and you won the Album of the Year at the Grammys recently, but we have to ask, is there any way you could tell us what this rap direction would sound like with your band?
We're thinking of doing a song that is a salute to hip-hop, and we'll do the greatest hits of all the other rappers on an homage album.
Oh, so you're going to do covers. You're going to cover other artists.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Do you have anything available? Do you have anything handy that maybe we could hear a little piece of?
We are working in the studio.
This is why you don't ask questions.
To come up with some songs. Here's some of the ones we're working on, like Grandmaster Flash.
Oh, nice.
The message by Grandmaster Flash.
I'd love to hear some of that. Thank you, Marcus.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Oh, it's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder I keep from going under.
Have you been rehearsing that one, or was that a first take?
No, that's how we're going to do it.
Okay, all right.
And damn you for asking a question.
Sorry about that.
I'm committed to this, and I have to finish.
My bad.
The answer with this song.
No offense, sir. It just doesn't seem like a rap as much as it is. You're just taking the lyrics from a rap song and singing
singing it the way all Mumford songs sound.
How about California by Tupac? I love that song.
Yeah.
So here's the version we will do on our new album, Mumford Salutes Hip Hop.
All right. California Love. Can't wait.
California
knows
how to party. California knows how to party. It's the city of L.A. It's the city of good old Watts.
Okay. You know what?
You know, Marcus, you're not really rapping as much as you're just singing that same song over and over again.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. Rocking my peers, putting suckers in fear, making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom.
I don't know you.
Knock you out. And that's what I'm going to do. Knock you out with my banjo and my big drum I keep stepping on. This was a bad idea.
Monday means Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Back on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Harvey. I'm sorry. Did I blow that? Did I not say that right?
No. I hear you now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, sorry about that, Harvey. How you doing, buddy?
It's okay. I know radio's new.
He's mocking you.
He is mocking us.
He should.
Harvey, did you ever work in radio, by the way, before you became a big-time multimedia star?
I love radio so much. I had a my very first job was at KBC Radio, and I had a one-hour show on Sundays, and I was Dr. Law.
Dr. Law.
Oh, wow. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Dr. Law.
That's great.
So, were you like Bill Handel? People would call in and ask you about questions, and you would give them off the cuff legal advice.
Bill Handel was my student when I taught law school, and I gave him his first radio job because then I went over to KMPC, and when I went on vacation, I thought he's good. I bet he could do this, and I had Bill do the show.
Wow.
How about that?
That's unbelievable. See, we learned a little something about our pal Harvey today. How about that?
There you go.
All right. Speaking of the law, what kind of advice would you give Brendan Fraser? Because I think this is a fascinating story that you put up this morning on TMZ.com. He, of course, was the star. People probably still best know him as Encino Man, but he's been in a bunch of other movies.
The Mummy.
George of the Jungle, The Journey to the Center of the Earth. This is a guy who I would imagine is a big-time multimillionaire, but the way you have broken down his finances, dude's in trouble, right?
Oh my God, he is losing, how much is it? He's losing $87,000 a month because of his expenses, and he makes a lot of money. The guy makes, where is this? He makes $205,000 a month, plus he gets another $25,000 in investments. So that's a month. And you would think, yeah, I know, but he's $87,000 in the red every month. So here's how that happens. For starters, I mean, the one that really kind of strikes me, he's paying $5,200 a month for gardeners.
$5,200 a month?
Oh, my God.
That's the thing. I don't know about that. So,
what is he busy? Is he having topiaries made of himself every month? What's happening?
I don't know. But, he has to pay $50,000 in alimony.
A month.
He's got $25,000 in child support. Yeah, and then you go down the list, but he pays a fortune to all of his professional people. I mean, he pays $112,000 a month for professional expenses.
That's managers, agents, lawyers, and people like that?
Yeah, the whole thing, yeah.
That sounds like he's overpaying. That's like half his income is going to those people.
I know. Can I tell you the pisser? This is what bothers me.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for him because he makes all this money. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's got to make adjustments. I mean, he's 3,000 in staff and all this. You know how much he spends on pet care?
Pet care.
$7.77.
That's like three cans of dog food. What's the poor pup doing the rest of the month?
He's as skinny as a dog ever.
Wow. $7 a month on dog food. You know, the surprising number in Brendan Fraser, and of course we all love seeing how the stars live here, is that his mortgages, and I don't know how many properties he has, Harvey, are only $5,000 a month. Doesn't that seem crazy low to you?
Well, he might own some of it free and clear.
Yeah,
remember?
He probably paid cash.
Oh, yeah.
That would make sense. Yeah, because I know he's one of those guys who has to have multiple houses, right?
Well, yeah, but he has to pay for them all because he has to afford the gardener.
Yeah, that's true.
See, this $50,000 a month in alimony, I don't know what that says, but don't get married or at least make sure they never find her after you get divorced. You know what I mean?
Whoa! Hey, now.
No, I'm just saying. That's crazy times.
You're going Drew Peterson on it.
Let's talk about Lindsay Lohan and Charlie Sheen. This is a weird relationship.
It's a really weird relationship. I mean, I could never figure out why Charlie... I mean, look, Charlie is crazy, but he's also one of the most generous people in Hollywood. He really is. I mean, he gives a lot of money to charity. And, I mean, he wrote this chick a check for $100,000 to help pay for her back taxes. I mean... That's a good friend, right?
Yes.
That's a super good friend. And we all assumed at the time that he was going to get to have sex with her multiple times for that.
And I don't think he did, but here's how much he's...
He's overpaying then.
Here's how gracious she is. She's basically telling her friends that she wants him to shut up. Because we posted a story. Charlie talked to us, and he said, look, I'd like to mentor her. I've been where she is.
Yeah, I'd like to mentor her, too.
You know what I mean, Harvey? You would not want to go there. You would not want to go. Are you kidding?
That's a good point. All right.
Oh, my God. So here's the thing. Charlie said, look, I'd like to help her. So she is now saying... You know what? I don't want to be mentored by Charlie Sheen. He needs to just shut up and not talk in the press about, helping me out. I'm doing fine. I've got a therapist now. I'm seeing the therapist, I'm regularly, and I'm getting back on track. But, I mean, I would think...
Have we seen any proof of that, that she's seeing a therapist and she's getting back on track?
Well, she says she is, but remember, I mean, have you seen her choice of lawyers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Totally. And by the way, if he gives you a $100,000 check to get the IRS off your back, he's allowed to talk about it. If you accept that money, he's allowed to talk about it. He gets the credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, he didn't have sex with you. What does he get out of it?
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. What does he get out of it? I mean, what's the deal? I mean, you've given us stories in the past where Charlie Sheen has been incredibly generous. Where do you think that's coming from? Because that is awfully rare.
I just think that's who he is. I mean, he's crazy, and he's a free spirit, but I think he's a kind guy. I really do. I mean, look, he'll see some random little girl who needs help, and medical help, and he'll pay for it. I mean, there aren't a lot of people who do that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I just hope that Lindsay calls Dr. Law and gets some advice on what her next move should be. That's what needs to happen. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ television. And don't forget, when in Hollywood, be sure to take the TMZ tour. It's super fun. Thanks, Harvey. We enjoyed it.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Hello, 6.7 K-Rock. Sorry. Another A.
Let the brother finish, Kevin. How much of a hurry are you in? Come on.
That song is almost 2.5 minutes long, Bean.
Who's got that kind of time to wait, right?
Shorten it up. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:37.
You are about 35 minutes away or so from details on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013. Very excited to unveil this to you. And we start giving away tickets next hour as well. Also, Chris Hardwick joins us from The Talking Dead, talking about The Walking Dead. That's all coming up here on K-Rock. Ralph Garman is very excited about this story. I think I am a little bit, too, although it seems like it's too much work for me. There's a New Mexico multimillionaire named Forrest Fenn, 82 years old. You don't hear about this very often. Talk about giving away your wealth. He has, well, I'll let Matt Lauer from the Today Show tell you what he's doing.
We're back now, 7:43, with a treasure hunt that sounds like something right out of the movies. Millions of dollars in gold and jewels.
By the way, since when does the Today Show only do stories over techno music?
Yeah, what's Skrillex? What's happening?
I know, right?
Hidden by a man who has decided to give away his fortune. Well, thousands of people have flocked to Santa Fe, New Mexico, in hopes of finding that fortune. And NBC's Janet Shamlian is among the curious. Janet, good morning to you.
Matt, good morning. Yeah, it's an amazing story. The man behind all this made his fortune here in Santa Fe selling Southwestern art. But after a devastating medical diagnosis, he recalled the phrase, "You can't take it with you." So that has set off what's become a modern-day gold rush out here. The treasure is still out there, and whoever finds it will be the keeper.
Okay, wait, now this is... Yes, go ahead.
So he buried $2 million, did you say?
Yeah, it's over $2 million worth of precious jewels, right?
And he buried it?
Yes.
And
well,
he's giving people clues?
No, it's hidden. It's hidden. Okay. It's not buried. He's not saying it's buried. He's saying it's hidden.
Okay.
That's the thing that makes this too tough for me to even get serious about getting on a plane and flying to New Mexico, is the clues are a little too fuzzy for me. I need to have more of an idea of what I'm doing before I go out there. But yeah, he got a devastating medical diagnosis that he had some sort of fast-moving cancer and that he was going to die soon. And he decided to give away millions of dollars to somebody because he said it was because he wanted people to go outside and enjoy the wilderness because he was such a big nature lover.
I was going to ask why the treasure hunt.
But he also thinks the thrill of the chase. He also thinks it's fun. And he loves stuff like this, so he decided to do it. Now, here's what you'll get if you can find this and keep it.
They're all looking for this. A 42-pound bronze chest filled with a multi-million-dollar bounty.
hundreds of gold nuggets and rare coins, as well as jewels, emeralds, diamonds, and rubies. They were hidden by a man who knows treasure when he sees it.
That's because he, you know, that's what he did, is he bought and sold artifacts. You know, that's how he made his money. That's how he became a multimillionaire. All right, here's an interview with Forrest Fenn. By the way, you still, as crazy as this story is, because who gives away millions of dollars to a perfect stranger? You still haven't heard the weirdest part of the story yet, but here's Forrest.
So you started filling this chest, but what was the goal?
I said, if I've got to go, why don't I just let somebody else have as much fun with this as I've had?
Fenn wanted others to experience the same thrill of the chase. So he hid the chest and wrote a memoir with a poem offering 9 clues.
Begin at where warm waters halt.
It's been almost 3 years since Forrest says he stashed the gold and the jewels. Thousands have trekked out here to the mountains based on his clues. And yet that treasure remains as elusive as the day it was hidden.
Now, these clues would drive me crazy, by the way.
Are they?
I don't have, ain't nobody got time for this. As I have
for
gone
alone. For
$2
million?
No, I'm sorry. All too right. hard. I'm sorry. As I have gone alone in there and with my treasures bold, and I can keep my secrets where and hint of riches new and old. F you, old man. That's what I have to say. All right, here's the craziest part about Forrest Fenn. So, diagnosis, cancer, you're going to die. You have 6 months to live or whatever it was. You can't take it with you. Okay, I'll give away all the money. Then he beat the cancer.
What?
Now he's not going to die, and he's totally fine. And he has a long, healthy prognosis, and he says he still wants to give the money away. He's not dying anymore.
But he has plenty of money, so he doesn't need to go find it himself?
Exactly. He has plenty of money, right. Huh. It's weird. I can't get my head around what his true motivation is. Listen to his answer to this question and tell me what you think about this.
Do you want someone to find this?
I'm ambivalent about that. You know, I could go either way.
Isn't that the weirdest
really?
Thing?
Yeah, you would think like he would want someone to find it.
He's enjoying hearing from people, and there have been hundreds of them who have been emailing him, you know, trying to talk about his clues and whatnot, and, you know, looking for direct, hey, am I heading in the right direction? He seems to be enjoying all of that, but you would think you would want to be alive to see somebody find it, right? I would think so.
Yeah,
really.
I think so, but then maybe they all stop emailing him.
Here's some more on the clues.
The 9 clues to finding Fenn's treasure.
Begin at where warm waters halt.
Can be found in a poem.
Take it in the canyon down.
In the back of his book.
Not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of Brown.
For the someone wise enough to find the blaze, the person who takes the chest and goes in peace.
Yeah. Again, if it involves a poem, I'm pretty much out.
I don't do poetry either, but, and the other thing that I worry about is if I'm the first one there and I find the treasure, don't you get the idea I die?
Yeah, I was just thinking someone's going to kill you for it.
$2 million.
Why?
Because
before you even get it out.
Because somebody wants the money, and I just found $2 million, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and I have a huge treasure chest that I'm trying to drag behind me. I get shot.
It
and then that guy gets shot, and then the guy, and then that guy gets shot,
and then the whole world dies because of this treasure chest.
We all die.
The whole thing weighs about 45 pounds or something. Oh. Or something. By the way, the box with the stuff in it. But these clues are just so nebulous. And by the way, there are people suggesting. And I don't know if this is just, you know, trolls on the internet, but they're saying that this guy, it's a big scam.
Yep.
That the guy didn't hide the money at all. That he's just screwing with us.
That's
is one
the other
theory.
Thing I thought. Yeah.
Another theory is that this is just his way to not have his estate have to pay taxes on it. Like, this is the bulk of his wealth. And if he gives it away this way, somebody can pick it up and take it without the taxes. You know, nobody even has to know that it ever gets found. And it's his some, you know, subtle middle finger to the government so that there isn't any kind of estate tax on it. But as you can imagine, since he made his appearance on the Today Show last week, Forrest Fenn, you can just imagine how crazy his life is and the reaction to his offer.
Well, it's been hectic. My website crashed for 7 hours yesterday because it has so many hits.
Okay, we've talked you into somehow giving us another clue this morning.
Well, I'm not going to put an X on a map for you.
No?
No.
All right, well, how about the clue?
All right, you guys ready for a clue that's going to break this thing wide open?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Kevin?
When was this on the Today Show? Because they have a head start on us.
This was last Wednesday or Thursday, but he started talking about this over 2 years ago. So people have already been looking for it for over 2 years, but now it's just like everybody's finding out about it because of the media exposure. So call LAX, book your flight to Santa Fe, because here's your clue.
Okay, the clue is the treasure is higher than 5,000 feet above sea level.
The treasure is higher than 5,000 feet above sea level. Is that, can you give us more than that?
No.
So he's just playing with us, right?
Okay. But we know it's in New Mexico.
Don't even know that.
We don't even know that.
People are assuming because that's where he lives and has lived his whole life in the Santa Fe area that it's in the mountains of New Mexico. But he hasn't actually come out and said that. There are people saying, "Dude, this could be in Alaska." We don't know.
Oh my gosh.
But New Mexico, Santa Fe is over 5,000 feet above sea level.
Oh, it is.
And here's one more clue, and this is what I love.
Good, because I'm zeroing in on it right now.
There's a bunch of videos online of people who have been trying to track down. You heard that one clue where they said, put in below the home of Brown, and there's like three or four different interpretations about where that could be. So people are putting up their videos of them trying, they're trying to crowdsource it, basically. Hey, what do you guys think about this interpretation? Here's my favorite one, though. This is a woman named Jennifer, and as you know, all Jennifers are hot, and she is too. And this is why no one named Jennifer has ever discovered anything. Listen to her.
Sitting on a rock. I am taking a break, and I am not afraid to say it, albeit I'm disappointed, I am not afraid to say that we don't stand a chance, not a chance, of finding the treasure today. We can't even find the trail, and when we get lucky and find the trail, we can't stay on the trail. We keep losing it, and then if I look at the clues in the poem from Forrest Fenn, the clues are so nebulous we're guessing as to what the clues mean. So this is starting to look like a fool's errand, and really, there is no chance that we are going to find the treasure today.
I hate it. It's hard. I don't like it. I don't want to be here. You're mean. Don't make me go.
USA! USA!
Isn't it going to be crazy?
That's the spirit right there, woman.
Isn't it going to be crazy when somebody who never even heard of it just stumbles upon it in the forest? Hey, what's this? I just hit my foot on something under some leaves. Wait, what's this? Isn't that going to be the
20
funniest
years
thing?
From now?
Right?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Well, Forrest Fenn is his name, F-E-N-N, if you want to check it out. If you're one of the Kevin and Bean burnout listeners and you got nothing to do with with the summer or something like that, you might want to hit the road and head out to New Mexico. Good
luck. You'll beat that girl.
What can you tell us about what's coming up after the top of the hour, Kevin?
Doto Man on the Streets.
He
takes the microphone. He went to Third Street Promenade and interviewed a lot of people about a lot of stuff.
Oh boy.
Doto, the international man of mystery,
That's
who wants
correct.
To make it in the entertainment business, Kevin and Bean, is actually doing interviews on this show
That's
now.
That's correct.
I can't wait.
And it only took 3 weeks to get it set up with him. So we got that going for us.
Very excited. That's coming up. And then details on April Foolish's 2013. First, though, Ralph's here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. It is a Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. See what people went to see over the weekend. Not a big box office weekend for movies in general, but it looks like the majority of people, if they did go to the movies, went to see Jack the Giant Slayer in 3D. Came in at number one this weekend with $28 million. Which sounds pretty good, but not when you reconcile the fact that it cost around $200 million to make.
Wow.
Yeah, it's got a ways to go to be profitable.
Heads will roll.
If that's the opening weekend, they probably won't recoup all the money they spent producing it. So not great news for Warner Brothers. Identity Thief was number two with $9.7 million. 21 and Over came in at number three. Then The Last Exorcism, Part Two, and Snitch, rounding out the top five. Escape from Planet Earth was sixth. Safe Haven, Silver Linings Playbook, Good Day to Die Hard, and Dark Skies were your top ten at the box office. And regarding Silver Linings Playbook, one of my favorite movies of the year, as you can imagine, not only well-written, well-acted, but about a family of insane Eagles fans.
And you recognized every game that they referenced in that film, remembered, right?
I recognized everybody in that movie. They weren't fictional characters to me. They were my friends, neighbors, and family. But regarding the emails that I keep getting and people who meet me have asked me these questions, I don't know what Krabby Snacks and Homemades are. No, it's not a Philadelphia thing, so stop talking about them. Stop asking about them. It's something specific they used in the film, but I know nothing of it. My friends know nothing of it.
So they should ask you on the street about it?
It is some sort of manufactured convention they used for that film. I was in Philadelphia this past weekend, and I was bemoaning the fact with my friends, who also said, yeah, everybody keeps talking about that. We've never heard of it. We've lived in Philadelphia our whole lives. We don't know what Krabby Snacks and Homemades are. So stop it.
Something they do with their family, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it was whatever the fictional family did, that's what they did. So enough with the Krabby Snacks and the Homemades.
Email Ralph.
Stop it.
K-Rock.
I said stop. By the way, I was at a bar in Philadelphia this weekend.
That's
shocking to you that I would end up there. But I'm sitting next to a couple, and they were asking questions of the bartender, where'd you go? We want to see the Rocky Steps. They were obviously tourists. Where do we go to get the best cheesesteak or whatever? And one of them was wearing a Lakers hat, and I was talking to him. I was referencing the fact that I now live in Los Angeles. Turns out they're listeners to the show.
What?
Yeah. I went 3,000 miles to Philadelphia and ran into two K-Rock listeners.
Huh.
So I want to give a shout-out to Ernesto and Lisette, who I met at a bar called Rotten Ralph's, one of my favorite bars in Philadelphia. So they were very kind, and they liked the show. So I want to give them a shout-out.
And who knew Laker fans would be so excited about being 500 in March?
Yeah, woo! We finally did it!
We're 30-30!
This is it. This is the big push. They're flip the switch. This now is when they flip the switch.
Now we mean it.
Now the switch is being flipped.
Hey, Kobe guaranteed the playoffs, you guys.
Yeah, I know. Or what does he lose if they don't make it?
Not a thing.
Yeah, it's a pretty flimsy guarantee when someone says, I guarantee it.
Everyone gets their money
nothing,
back?
Nothing at stake, really, for you with that guarantee. I promised you an update last hour about the former Miss Delaware Teen USA, Melissa King. This was the girl who lost her crown as Miss Delaware Teen because it was discovered, allegedly, that she did an adult film.
Yeah, that's hot.
Did an X-rated video. Melissa King denied it, said, no, I did not do it. Said, that girl just looks like me, it's not me. But relinquished her crown nonetheless. Well, it turns out the people who originally posted that video, girlsdoporn.com, settled the debate by running the video of Melissa identifying herself while reading the release before she shot the video.
Which I'm sure they have on film for all the girls,
yes,
right? Just
do.
In case of something like this.
An amateur site like this that uses new performers will always make sure that they get that on tape and then reading the release so that they can't come back and say you used it without my permission. So there she is identifying herself as Melissa King.
That's awesome.
The website also says that Melissa reached out to them regarding doing the filming.
Okay.
And was paid $1,500 for the shoot. Now, of course, YouPorn.com has offered her $250,000 to be the face of that website and promote it around the world, and they have not gotten a response yet from Melissa, but I'm guessing the odds are in their favor. The more I think about it, the more I think she might say yes.
You would think she did it, so she's not averse to it.
By the way, Melissa, if she did not lose her crown because of the porn, I think she was doomed to lose it anyway, because it turns out she's also wanted for two arrest warrants in the state of Maryland.
Oh my God.
One outstanding warrant for underage possession of alcohol, the other one for allegedly stealing a city bus fare box.
Wow.
She took the money box off a city bus and ran out the door with it, allegedly.
She's the best.
She is the best. So they should reinstate her.
They would like to have a conversation with her as well.
USA!
Maybe that's why she's not Miss Maryland.
Yeah.
She had to go on the lam from that state, and now she was Miss Delaware. However, interestingly enough, she's still eligible to be Miss New Jersey with her behavior.
Oh.
She could absolutely
actually got the lead.
Be the rep for that state. Today's celebrity birthdays. Evan Dando of the Lemonheads turns 46 years old today. Director Paul W.S. Anderson, who gave us the Resident Evil franchise, he is 48 years old. Jason Newsted, bassist, formerly of Metallica, is 50 years old. Stephen Weber, the actor, is 52. Patricia Heaton from The Middle and Everybody Loves Raymond turns 55. Michael T. Williamson from Forrest Gump, 24, is 56. And Catherine O'Hara, one of my favorite female comic performers ever. She, of course, from SCTV, and then went on to feature films like Home Alone and Best in Show, Mighty Wind, a lot of the Chris Guest movies. An amazingly talented lady, 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
As you know, K-Rock's World Tour 2013 destination number 8 is Depeche Mode in Moscow, Russia. 9:10 this morning, we'll give you their forthcoming album, Delta Machine, and you'll be qualified for that. Last week, we were trying to send you to London, and apparently, Kevin, it is now time for the grand prize drawing for that. Who's going to London to see fun, period?
Michelle Reed from Anaheim.
Oh, yeah. Michelle.
Michelle does good work.
Well done. Yeah, she's awesome. She's awesome.
She is going to be in London to see fun.
That is
slimy. So congratulations, Michelle. All right. This is the moment we've been waiting for, not just for a few days, but for years. We've wanted Doto, the international man of mystery, to play a bigger part in this show because we love him. He's maybe our favorite listener of all time. And I think he joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Doe. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Kevin Bean. How's it going? It's been a while, man.
It has been. Did you have a good time going out with DJ Omar Khan the other day and doing some interviews for us?
You know what? I became less and less nervous, and I asked any weird questions from Steven Seagal to Pippi Longstocking to buffets and to Starbucks coffee, Kevin Bean.
Sure. Everybody wants to know about those things.
Now, before we hear some of this tape, and I understand that we're going to all enjoy it very much, you are interested in making it in the entertainment business, Doto?
I thought we all know that, but for years, Kevin Bean, for years.
Okay, so that's a yes.
Yes.
Did you say AIDS in there somehow?
I thought he said age, but I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, all right.
Oh, Omar, you're with us too. Did you have a good time with Doe the other day?
It was the best time ever. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's just unbelievable spending time with Doe too. I think we're best friends now, right, Doe?
Yeah, I need some bait, Omar.
I hear that, yeah.
he said
that a lot.
He did mention that.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have for us here, Kevin?
Well, Omar and Doto are in the car, and they're heading over to the 3rd Street Promenade, and this conversation is had.
I like to talk about buffets.
What about buffets?
People should go to soup plantations. It's pretty healthy. A lot of vegetables, a lot of tomatoes, mushrooms, onions, and raw vegetables. And it can help someone lose weight. It's definitely good. It can help people not to be too stuffed. Much better than hamburgers. And also, it can help people to have a longer life expectancy, like a longer lifespan.
I got to be honest, Doto. Omar's not much of a conversationalist.
You're doing the heavy lifting, though. That's for sure. But I love it.
All right. So Doto's driving. Omar is interviewing.
Yes.
Did you find it distracting that Omar was talking to you while you were trying to drive?
No, but Omar thinks I was driving like an Asian. I wasn't driving pretty quickly. I was a little bit nervous driving up to L.A., Kevin Bean.
He did say that you were on the freeway going 20.
No, I was in the freeway going 60, maybe 55 to 60.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. he's on the streets, though. Before he got on the freeway, he almost ran a red light.
Doto just ran the red light. Good job, dude.
Thanks, man. I need some babes. Maybe whites, Japanese, Koreans, and Chinese.
One of these is not like the other.
Probably the white. So I like white women.
What is it about white women that you enjoy so much?
Big boobs.
But not all white women have big boobs.
And they're pretty aggressive.
I know Lisa May is. She likes it. She'll do whatever. Have you ever heard of the donkey punch?
I'm not sure, Alma.
It's when you growl your girl from and then right when you're about to you back at you want to do that with Lisa May?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Thanks, Omar.
All right.
Me under the bus.
Lisa, you up for that?
Is that a real question?
Doto?
Yes.
You seem a little uncomfortable when Omar brings up Lisa May.
I just got to wake Kevin Bean.
You just got to wake.
Oh, okay.
All right. Important point.
Don't hit this lady. You almost hit a lady, dude.
What's happening?
If you don't know Doto, his sense of humor kicks in strong sometimes. And it's unexpected at times.
Yes, it is.
Now, why were you laughing so much when you almost hit a woman?
Well, I didn't intentionally hit him.
No, but you almost did.
Why was that funny that you almost killed a person?
What? No, I didn't kill a person, kid. No,
right.
Yeah, but you came pretty close.
But almost. And then you went.
It's an odd reaction, Doto, because most people, if we, you know, accidentally almost hit someone, we're like, oh my God, oh, I'm so sorry. I thank God that didn't go badly.
No, I didn't hit a person. If I did, I would have taken serious, Kevin Bean. I guess Omar and I we were laughing because we were talking about me getting some babes, Kevin Bean.
I see.
Okay.
And you almost took one out.
There's one less babe in the world thanks to Doto's driving.
All right, let's get to the actual content. You're out there. You're talking to people.
I was interviewing people from various topics, and Omar thinks that I need to hold a microphone a little bit closer to someone's mouth.
Right.
Hello. Would you guys like to do an interview?
What's it about?
I have a question. What do you think about having Obamacare in 2014? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad?
I don't really want to answer.
What do you think?
Nope. Why do you think they didn't want to answer that, Doto?
Because I think that sometimes that topic could be very touchy, Kevin.
Oh, look
I
at
agree,
you.
Doe. I think a lot of people just don't even want to get involved in a conversation about politics.
What about coffee?
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I ask you a quick question? What is your opinion of Starbucks coffee?
Oh, great.
What I like about Starbucks coffee is I like the vanilla brewst.
Yep, that's good, Doto. It's good that you're putting your own personal interest in there.
Yeah, because when I was talking to him, he thinks I need to start being a little bit more creative in my interviews, and maybe work on not keep asking serious questions.
Right.
I don't know what you just said, but I agree with it.
We have details on April Foolishness coming up. This is Doto, the International Man of Mystery.
We may not get to details on April Foolishness if you've got more tape, by the way.
Oh,
this
I've
is
got
more
tape.
Important.
I've got more tape. And this particular interview question is a unique one because it's a really old TV show that he's asking about, but yeah. All right.
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a quick question? Have you ever watched the movie, have you ever seen Knight Rider before David Hasselhoff?
Yes, I have.
And what is your favorite part of Knight Rider? But just give me
a long second. Time ago. Just watching the car and actually.
And can I tell what I think? And uh-huh. have you ever seen the car Garth, the Knight Rider, and then he has a stepbrother named Garth. That was back in 1984.
No, I didn't see that.
But you do like Knight Rider.
Yes, I do like Knight Rider.
That's my favorite because I like a car that talks.
I love the car that talks.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Bye. What do you think?
Is it
better? Yeah.
Great line of questioning. Are you kidding me? That was fantastic.
Now we ask Omar, what do you
think? I did watch a lot of Knight Riders back in the 80s, you know?
That came through. Your love for that show came through.
What made you think of it when you were out doing interviews just a few days ago here in 2013, though, Doe?
Yeah, because sometimes I like to ask people a question about movies and things back in the 80s, because back in those days was fun time days, Kevin Bean.
Fun time days.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Knight Rider, David Hasselhoff, you know?
Right,
those,
yeah.
Those were the crazy days, man. Those back in the 80s, right?
What other kind of topics?
Getting better. Yeah. What else? Mongolia. Okay, there you go. Excuse me. Can I actually ask a quick question? Have you ever been to Mongolia?
No.
And do you like Mongolian barbecue?
Yeah.
And do you know any good places for Mongolian barbecue around here?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Don't I get the feeling you're just looking for your next meal every time we talk to you?
Or your next babe.
It's all about the babes and the food.
So it's pretty much the same as the SOS, right, Bean?
Whatever you just said, yeah. Look, Kevin, who isn't all about their next meal and their next babe?
That's
mean,
true.
Isn't that the world? Come on.
That's true. I have so much more. I just don't have time because we got to do the April Foolishness thing.
Well, give me a couple more.
All right.
Another question I'm going to ask is about buffets at the Sheraton Hotel.
Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a quick question?
No.
Move on to the next one. I know that, man. Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a quick question? Excuse me. Can I ask you a quick question? Excuse me. Can I ask you guys a quick question? Excuse me. Can I ask you guys a quick question? What about asking them? I'm going to stick a microphone in people's faces.
Okay.
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a quick question? No worries.
Was that those,
was those people don't know what they missed?
What about the buffet at the Sheraton? We never got the answer.
Darn it. Doto, I think, and I don't know if I'm speaking for the room here or not, I think you're the best interviewer I've ever heard.
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
I think that was great, and I am honored to have that on our show, and I hope that you'll do it again for us.
Sure.
It's a great start, and get back out there and keep doing it.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Bean.
Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. Oops, sorry. Doe is done with us.
No, it's cool.
It's cool. Okay. Thank you, Doe.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thank you, Omar.
All right.
Sweet. We're going to hear some more of those throughout the morning.
All right. I love it.
Ouch.
What is your opinion of German chocolate cake? You like German chocolate cake?
I don't know that product. I'm sorry, I'm French.
You don't. But have you ever? You know what? I go to France sometime too. And do you like flan?
Good question. That's a good question. You can't take. Do you like flan for granted anymore? You have to ask people about it.
Why would Doto ask anyone about German chocolate cake? How does his mind work?
It's a pressing issue of the day, dude.
I wasn't aware of that. But now he's inflaming World War II memories because this poor guy from France doesn't want to talk about Germany. That's bad.
So.
That's ugly, right?
I don't think either of them thought that.
Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Adam Lakers Carolla just after 8 o'clock and take your calls on bizarre middle names. I think that's the place where the parents have the crazy name, but they don't have the guts to put it first, so they put it in the middle.
Yeah,
so,
that's a weak move right there.
So we're going to take your calls coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, Chris Hardwick joins us from The Talking Dead, talking about last night's awesome episode of The Walking Dead. That's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But right now, Kevin, I believe we've got some news.
Yes, April Fools. Yes, on your funny bones.
It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Hey, what day is it?
Spread out, you two. It's Saturday, April the 6th.
But where is it?
At Gibson Amphitheater.
Performing live on stage. Brad Williams.
Dwarves are like bacon. We make everything better.
Ari Shaffir.
Have you guys ever done shrooms before?
All right, cool. A few of you have. The rest of you are wasting your lives.
Rob Delaney.
feet.
You know, I like women whose body parts go like slap-a-dap-a-doodle when they walk around.
Doug Benson.
All right, so I wrote down everything that I want to talk about tonight because, well, you know why.
April Fools.
Bill Burr.
Dude, you can't say hi to kids anymore. I love kids. I like making faces at them on the airplane, making them laugh. Now parents are like, that's sex offender. They start huddling their kids in.
And Jay Moore.
Can't wait to see you at Kevin and Bean's
April Foolishness.
And April Foolishness, I'm getting everybody pregnant. I'm talking to you, Doug Benson.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon.
Proceeds benefit the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedar Sinai NICU.
Log on to krock.com for full details, or I'll myrtleize you.
Three Stooges not included. It's the most wonderful time of the year, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. What are we up to? Is this year number four, I want to say?
Four or five, maybe.
It is, look, if you love comedy, and who does it, it is easily, and I have no reservations about saying this, it's the best night of comedy anywhere in America in one night, because you'll never get this many great comedians on one stage in one place having such a great time. Jay Moore, Bill Burr, Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, Brad Williams, all friends of the Kevin and Bean Show, all donating their time on Saturday night, April the 6th, for Kevin and Bean's...
That's like six and a half comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. April Foolishness 2013, Saturday, April 6th at the Gibson Amphitheater. It is such a fun, fun night. Tickets are on sale this Friday at noon. And as we mentioned, the April Foolishness benefits this year, the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedar-Sinai NICU. So it's a win-win-win-win-win right across the board, right?
Correct. I believe four wins, yes. Go to krock.com for info. And everybody tunes in late and then they get mad at us for... making the announcement before
right.
they tuned in.
Right.
So they tune in right afterwards. So just in case you missed it, here it is
again. Yes, April Fools. As in your funny bones.
It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Hey, what day is it?
Spread out, you two. It's Saturday, April the 6th.
But where is it?
The Gibson Amphitheater.
Performing live on stage.
Brad Williams. Dwarves are like bacon. We make everything better.
Ari Shaffir.
Have you guys ever done shrooms before? All right, cool. A few of you have. The rest of you are wasting your lives.
Rob Delaney!
You know, I like women whose body parts go like slap-a-dap-a-doodle when they walk around.
Doug Benson!
Alright, so I wrote down everything that I want to talk about tonight because, well, you know why.
April Fools!
Bill Burr!
Dude, you can't say hi to kids anymore. I love kids. I love kids. I like making faces at them on the airplane, making them laugh. Now parents are like, that's sex offender. They start huddling their kids in.
And Jay Moore.
Can't wait to see you at Kevin and Bean's
April Foolishness.
And April Foolishness, I'm getting everybody pregnant. I'm talking to you, Doug Benson.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon.
Proceeds benefit the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedar-Sinai NICU.
Log on to krock.com for full details, or I'll myrtleize you.
All right, not bad, right?
Right.
If you want tickets, we're going to give them away now. 1-800-520-1067. You have to have a joke. You have to have a joke. We're doing Rodney the Joke Machine.
Okay.
All right.
So you tell us the punch, the setup, and then Rodney will, he knows every punchline in existence. But you try and stump him, and if you do, you'll go into the drawing. So you give us the setup, he gives us the punchline. If you're able to stump Rodney, you will go into the drawing for a pair of tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, which is approximately 1 month from right now. Call right now, and we'll get right back.
All right, 106.7 K-Rock, Rodney and the Rock Show.
We'll handle that part. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Rodney and the Rock Show.
Okay.
Coming up
Thank
next.
Thank you, Rodney. Kevin and Bean here on a Monday morning here on K-Rock. Just announced April Foolishness 2013 is coming up on Saturday, April the 6th at the Gibson.
Davy Jones has been dead for a year already.
Unrelated to this topic, Rodney. Thank you. Gibson Amphitheater with Jay Moore, Bill Burr, Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, and Brad Williams. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon. But before we get to that point where you can buy tickets, why not give you a chance to win tickets with our friend Rodney Bingenheimer? Now, Kevin, what's your understanding about what Rodney can do for us here? There's no joke that you can start that Rodney can't finish.
I know all the jokes.
That's true.
Really?
You don't strike me as a particularly funny guy on purpose, Rodney.
I'm hilarious. You see my stand-up. Why aren't I performing?
I would pay money for that.
Coachella.
All right. It's time for Rodney the Joke Machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine.
It's Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
Hey.
machine, hey. The joke machine. He's Rodney.
All right. Canters.
Like, all right, now, Rodney, Canters. because you sometimes get off
all the time at Canters.
Right, I know you do. You sometimes go off on crazy tangents or talk about Oingo Boingo. I want to make sure we're focused here today. The caller will give you the setup. All you have to do is give us the punchline, okay? That's all
right.
We need from you.
Haircut 100.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Let's stay away from that.
That
all right.
Song, Love Plus One.
Let's start with Steve. He's on line two. That and rim. Again, he's going to give you the setup, and all you need to do is give him the punchline. You understand,
why
Rodney?
Why are you laughing?
Come on
it
now.
That's
Steve,
what that song's about.
Start the joke, and then Rodney will finish it for you.
You got it. Why is playing bridge like having sex?
All right. Why is playing bridge like having sex?
Oh, good. Locked in.
All right. Sheena Easton.
How does that make any sense to you?
She's sexy.
She was Sheena in Easton. 1983.
Sugar Walls. Sugar Walls.
Steve, is it Sheena Easton?
That is incorrect.
And what's the answer?
If you don't have a good partner, you need a good hand.
See, there you go. All right.
Gotcha.
You are in the drawing, Steve. You might be moments away from winning the very first pair of tickets to April Foolish's.
My baby takes the morning train.
Let's try Steven this time. He's
across
on line
the bridge.
Three joining us at the Kevin and Bean Show for Rodney the Joke Machine.
All right.
Steven.
What it do, nephews? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
All right, stump Rodney the Joke Machine. Good luck.
All right, what do you call a gay dinosaur, Rodney?
The Go-Go's.
Does that make sense to
all
you?
All right.
Did you listen to the setup? What do you call a gay dinosaur?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Bronski Beat.
Steven, is it Bronski Beat?
Hell no.
What is it?
Megasaurus.
See, because
Rodney,
that's
you get it?
I don't understand.
Oh, never mind.
All right. Vanessa is on line four
oh,
here
Frankie
at Kevin
Goes to Hollywood.
I what is
said
that?
Frankie Goes
that
to
wouldn't
Hollywood.
Have, that's not the answer either.
No, this has nothing to do with 80s music. These are jokes. People are giving you the setups. You give the punchline. All right, Vanessa, you're
Molly
on with
Johnson's
Rodney.
Johnson's gay, though.
Joke machine. Good
hey,
luck.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Vanessa.
Where do you find a no-legged dog?
Flock of seagulls.
You didn't even let her finish talking.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Finish.
What's I said, where do you find a no-legged dog?
Flock of seagulls.
No, right where you left them.
Oh,
see?
Because he can't go anywhere. Rodney, you get it? No legs?
You can't. I ran.
Okay.
Wow.
You are in the drawing, all Vanessa, to win the April Foolish. Rodney, you told us when
all
you
makes
sat
sense
down.
If you think about it.
Right, but you told us that you know every joke.
All right.
No one was going to be but you haven't known any of these jokes. Please explain.
Oh, bad rap.
All right.
Godhead.
Let's try a couple more. How about Kyle on line five? Hi, Kyle. You're on with Rodney the Joke Machine. Stump him and go into the drawing
all
for
right.
Foolishness. Good luck.
Hey, Kevin to me.
Hi.
Why doesn't the peanut ride the subway?
Why doesn't the peanut ride the subway?
You heard that one?
Pass the Dutchie. On the left-hand side.
What?
That doesn't make sense at all.
Putting on the Ritz?
Kyle?
Yeah, it's because he was assaulted.
See, because that's a play on words, Ronnie, because a peanut can be salted, and that sounds like, you don't know, man.
Why
all
would
right.
you want to beat up a peanut?
No,
oh, dear
no
God.
One's really...
Make some peanut butter.
Let's try George on line six, I guess.
George
although I'm running out of
Carver invented peanut butter.
I'm running out of enthusiasm
all
for
right.
Rodney. Hi, George.
Inventors.
You're on.
Hi, George.
Why did Tigger look in the toilet?
I don't think I want to know the answer.
I don't either. First exclusive thing you've said
where
all
this
day.
Is headed.
All right, Michael Hutchins.
Is it Michael Hutchins?
Close, but he was looking for poo.
Now, you could have at least guessed that one, right, Rod? Even if you didn't know it, you could have figured that one out because of Tigger, right?
Tigger.
Have you heard of Tigger?
Bruce Hornsby?
All right.
Okay.
All right. What did I win?
Rudy is up next on line seven here on the Kevin Meacham. We're playing for just announced April Foolish's 2013 tickets. Good luck, Rudy.
All right, guys. Why can't a penis be 12 inches?
Why can't a penis be 12 inches?
Wow, thinking about that one.
You say 12 finger, inches,
huh?
Penis. The Bangles?
Is it the Bangles?
No.
No.
All right.
What's the answer?
Because then it'd be a foot.
See?
All right.
12 inches is a foot, Rodney.
These jokes are all terrible, by the way.
Can we mention that?
Let's do one more. How about Christina on line one? Christina, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Rodney, the joke machine. Good luck.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi.
My joke is, why did the football coach go to the bank?
Why did the football coach go to the bank? Kid Creole and the coconuts. Cuz Kid Creole and the coconuts.
It doesn't help to say cuz. It doesn't really, that doesn't make it better.
Cuz fine young cannibals.
Christina, what's the answer?
To get his quarterback.
See, again, Highlights Magazine to the rescue. All right, Christina, also Steve, Steven, Vanessa, Kyle, George, and Rudy, all in the drawing. Only one wins the first pair of tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's Just 2013. Who's it going to be?
The winner is Steve.
Yay!
Steve.
All right.
Congratulations, like Steve.
Yeah, will Glenda be there?
Of course you will.
That's a great question. Thank you. You will be, as will Rodney. Thank you, Rodney.
Bananarama?
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke.
Have you ever watched the movie The Django and Chang?
Yeah,
And what do you think of people using the N-word? Is it a bad idea? That's a pretty bad idea, right?
I don't think so in film.
That's why we're Americans, right? Woo!
Woo, America!
Wow.
Come on. What's happening?
Good things. Adam Lakers Carolla joins us after the top of the hour here
that
on
That can't really be his name.
It really is, and we're going to be talking about crazy middle names, which is a topic I don't think we've ever talked about here on the program. And, of course, stand by for all the details if you just tuned in and missed it for April Fool's Just 2013. We'll repeat that for you. First, though, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
For those of you demanding an update on the Jennifer Lawrence sweaty clothing from Silver Linings Playbook auction.
Congratulations, Ralph.
Last week, her sports bra went for $3,175. So.
And where are you going to put it?
Right here. Right in this region, right here.
Will that get in the way of your pants?
Right about here.
Yeah, we can see. No one's looking at you, stop it.
All right, it's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Not a big box office weekend, but $28 million was good enough to make Jack the Giant Slayer in 3D number one. Not as big as Warner Brothers may had liked or anticipated, considering the film cost around $200 million to make.
Wow.
So, $28 million minus $200. Let me do a quick math. They're in trouble.
But they're not going to have to be creative with their financing to show that they're losing money.
That's true. This way, they'll legitimately not pay the people they're supposed to pay with the profits. Identity Thief was number two. 21 and Over was third. The Last Exorcism Part 2 came in at number 4. Then Snitch, Escape from Planet Earth. Safe Haven at number 7. Silver Linings Playbook at number 8. Good Day to Die Hard and Dark Skies rounding out the top 10. Dark Skies. Anyone got anything?
No.
Dark Skies for me?
Didn't get a feeling on that one.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the Carrie Russell one with the birds hitting the window?
Oh, the birds hitting the window. Right. Yeah. That looks scary. I'm surprised more people didn't go. Maybe people are out or just getting numb. There's so many scary movies out there. Maybe
there are a lot. Yeah,
getting a little nerd to the whole thing.
I don't even know what that is.
Sometimes real life's scarier than the movies. People, interview with Rihanna with the British version of Elle magazine was disturbing on so many levels. Talking about her renewed love with her relationship with Chris Brown. Love, love, love. It's all she kept saying. Mm. They have an unbreakable bond, she said, and she's thankful for their fresh start. And she said, wait for it, they're planning on having a kid together sometime in the next 5 years.
No. Oh, come on.
Here's one thing. If you want to re-up for a relationship with a guy who has beaten you severely, that's horrific and ill-conceived and just not thoughtful on many levels. But you want to introduce a child to that relationship?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have all the same fears you guys do, but I am not willing to accept that nobody can come back from that, that nobody can change and be saved from that behavior.
I agree with you, but there's nothing in his behavior that would tell you that he is.
Yeah, what has his behavior since that event demonstrated that he is in any way cooler and more calm and collected and sort of a more centered person?
He's still a dick, and he's still selfish, but he hasn't hit anybody. And that seems like a step in the right direction, at least.
What about throwing chairs?
What about the confrontation he had with the... Oh, who's the guy with the recording studio thing?
Frank Ocean.
Frank Ocean, Drake? Yeah. When he got, oh, Frank Ocean. Got involved with those guys.
Did that end up being a fight? Did he throw a punch?
I think one of his boys did or something. I mean, just he surrounds himself with...
Look, I agree. I have no love for Chris Brown at all. But I do think that as a blanket statement, just because somebody is involved in one situation like that doesn't mean they're irredeemable for the rest of their life. I just got my fingers crossed that this is one of those cases where, you know, he stays
let's
on
say,
the street
let's
now.
Say, let's accept your proposition that people can change. If you had a lineup of people, would you pick Chris Brown out as the guy most likely to?
I would not. I would not.
I'd put him in the bottom 10.
Yeah.
I don't like him.
Well, she does. She said her goals in life are simple. She just wants to be healthy and happy. Well, maybe she'll get one of those. You be the judge. Here's a guy who knows how to work it. This Leonardo DiCaprio guy. He seems to know what he's doing. Took a long flight out of LAX to Tokyo, Japan over the weekend. When he landed, as you can expect, hundreds of screaming female fans were there in anticipation for his landing. And what did he do? Did he put on the sunglasses? Did he duck it out the back way? Did he give the finger to anybody? No.
No, I doubt it.
He stood in line after a long flight and signed almost all the autographs for all the girls who had been there waiting for him.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's a good guy. He seems to finally be one of those stars who understands where his bread is buttered and can appreciate the people who appreciate it.
Didn't have to do that.
He's always been like one of those guys. He's been super nice to his fans. It's nice to see.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's right, Kevin. That's what I said.
That guy. Oh, what would you need him for?
What the? Ryan Gosling and James Franco apparently are battling over the same role.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He is not in the running. Apparently it's just these two guys. Both of them apparently have pitched themselves to a producer to develop a film based on Olympian Oscar Pistorius.
Huh?
That's the Blade Runner. The guy who killed his girlfriend. Allegedly.
No, he really did kill her. We know that much. We just don't know if it was an accident or not.
Yeah. They both have an idea on how to develop the project and want to play that role. I guess it would be a pretty showy role. You have to chop your legs off. But other than that, I mean, what price art? That's what I ask you.
I've heard you say that many times.
What price art, indeed. Today's celebrity birthdays, Fergal Lawler. Of the Cranberries. He's 42 years old.
Fergal does good work.
Oh, he is.
On
he,
that guitar.
He's the backbeat. He's bass. The backbeat of the Cranberries.
Drummer. Does good drumming.
Evan Dando of Lemonheads is 46. Paul W.S. Anderson, director of the Resident Evil movies, is 48 years old. Steven Weber from Wings and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip turns 52. Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond in the Middle is 55. Michael T. Williamson, 24, and Forrest Gump turns 56. And Catherine O'Hara, one of my faves from SCTV and all the Christopher Guest films. She's 59 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Just announced, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013 is coming up on Saturday, April the 6th, which, as Kevin pointed out, will be here before you know it. That's like a month from, 2 days from now. Yeah, it's crazy. Gibson Amphitheater, our friend Jay Moore is on the bill. Bill Burr, Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, Brad Williams. Great, great lineup again this year for great, great charities. All proceeds benefit the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon if you want to buy those tickets. And, of course, they sell out very, very fast. So we're very excited about the show. All those details, if you missed them, at krock.com.
Adam Lakers Corolla.
That's right.
Adam, let me run that by again. Adam Lakers Corolla. Nope. No.
Ace Man?
I'm saying no.
It's true, right?
Well, it is as far as the government knows. I mean, all you have to do is put something on your driver's license when you're filling out the form about 25 years ago, and it just becomes fact.
Okay, what's the story here? So you, and by the way, I didn't know about this about Adam until somebody tweeted the other day that he was courtside at a Lakers game, and it mentioned that his middle name was really Lakers, and I thought, what? But you weren't born with that name. What's the story, Ace?
Well, originally it was the Wizards. And my dad thought that was a little lofty.
What was your middle name on your birth certificate the day you were born?
No middle name, because my parents, I swear to you, I know it sounds like I'm making a big deal about this, but I think the bloom was off the rose before I left the hospital with my parents.
Like, yeah.
No middle name is just a... You know, it's one of those things. Like, first off, I can't stand it because every kid has seven middle names now.
Yeah, true. Totally.
Little Dakota, Montana, New Jersey, Phantasm, you know, and Jackson. You know, it's like it's way too much because it's just, I mean, look, their parents are a-holes and they're narcissists, but they're trying as hard as they can.
Your parents weren't trying, or?
Well,
had they given up on you?
Middle, I'll tell you, it's the worst conversation I ever had as an adult with my parents because it bothered me my whole life that everyone else had a middle name. And you'd get that thing where, well, I'm named after my grandfather who was a war hero or something like that, whatever the middle name is. It's an excuse to pay homage to somebody else in the family or
go
with something a little nutty.
Totally.
I said as an adult just a few years ago, I said to my dad, Dad, what's up with the middle name thing? Why no middle name? And he gave me the worst answer a father could give to a son. He went, yeah, I don't know. And then he said, you should ask your mom. Maybe she knows. And then I said, all right, I'll ask my mom. And then I said to my mom, why no middle name? She paused. She goes, did you ask your dad?
Neither of them even care about it now.
They didn't have a story. There was no story other than, I don't know, we ran out of time. We ran out
That's
of age.
Crazy.
You know?
We decided it would be unique to not have a middle name. Anything.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have some story fashion.
You could lie about it.
Easily. So,
right.
I got tired of this, and I was about, I must have been about 19, maybe I was 20, 21, I can't remember, but I was getting my license renewed, and I was sitting in the, I was probably like 23, and I was sitting in the DMV, and you know, my whole life, by the way, you don't give your kid a middle name, they have to stare at that empty box between their first name and their last name for every single official thing you fill out,
sure,
right?
Sure, it bothers you for life.
Space for a middle name, and it just taunts you. It taunts you. Oh, look, your parents don't care about you. We got nothing. That guy to the right, he's still writing in his middle name. No, so I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm writing in a middle name. And the Lakers were, you know, they were in deep in the playoff. They were in the championship with the Celtics.
Right.
And I just thought, they were on my mind. I was rooting for them. It was the Magic, you know, Larry Bird era. And I just wrote Lakers. And once I wrote Lakers in, that's all it took.
Really?
On every, you know, on my deed to my house, my driver's license, everything I own now, insurance papers, everything says Lakers.
So is it in fact now your legal name?
Well, it is practically my legal name because it's on every single document I own. No one ever checks. You know, everyone always talks about the bad side of the DMV where everyone's so lazy and lethargic and no one has any follow through. The good news is they don't check your middle name. I mean, there's a happy side to lazy.
Sure.
You know what I mean? This is it. You write in whatever you want.
Interesting. It's a good thing you weren't watching porn when you decided to give yourself a middle name.
Yeah. I mean, it could have, like I said, it could have been a lot worse. It could have, you know, it could have, it could have been the Rams. It could have been, you know, it could have been the Rams, and then they would have left town.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's right. So are you happy about it today? Are you still enough of a Lakers fan that you're happy to have that as your name?
It was the first Lakers game I've been to. I told O'Reilly and whoever else would listen.
Yeah, Adam was there with Bill O'Reilly courtside, by the way, in case you're wondering. Not a joke.
It was the last Lakers game I went to since I went with Jimmy and Kevin.
Wow. Wow.
And I was very proud of myself that Lakers game. I don't know if you remember back in 95, 94, 95, Kevin.
Not a bit.
We went to, I said, it was funny because I said, oh, we were in the Staples Center. I said, we must have sat way up there. And I said, oh, no, wait a minute. We were at the Forum. When we went, there was no.
Wow.
It wasn't, I don't think the Staples Center wasn't there when
it
we went.
It wouldn't have been there. Not then, no.
Me and Jimmy drove to the Forum, and I was very proud that I walked in line to go get a beer, and when I was walking back, one of the chicks fired a T-shirt from the T-shirt cannon. And without spilling the beer, I jumped up and one-handed it, snagged it out of the air in like the third row, and I gave it to you, Kevin, as a little something, something for taking me to Lakers game. And I know that shirt is displayed somewhere proudly in your home.
It was maybe the proudest moment that I've ever had
that day. So the point is, though, now you're a big-time star sitting courtside with Bill O'Reilly, and your name is actually Adam Lakers Carolla. That's where we ended up here.
That's where we ended up, and it's funny, but it's true, and like I said, it's not my middle name, but if it's on every single document, I'm sure my death certificate will contain it as well.
Well, what they do is they go back to any earlier document and they check that one. So if that one says Lakers, you have to
pull your license out. That's it.
Yep, exactly. All right, Ace, you're the best, man. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
See you, Lakers.
So that's a crazy story, right?
Yeah.
How many people get to create their own middle name?
I didn't know that was possible.
I didn't either. That sounds like a one-of-a-kind story. So we got to talking about exactly what Adam said, which is usually people use the middle name as a parking space for either a weird family name that is too crazy to give you as a first name, or as some sort of a tribute to something that they're into, like Nintendo or something like that. So we want to hear from you if you've got a bizarre middle name. I don't know how this is going to go, but I have a feeling there have to be a bunch of people out there who have had that middle spot on their name kind of used as a dumping ground, right?
I would imagine. And how excited will they be to hear that they can just change that?
Exactly. All you have to do is go renew your driver's license, right?
Write it in. So, you got it set.
1-800-520-1067 is the toll-free number. 1-800-520-1067. For instance, we've already heard from Rochelle, whose middle name is Star, S-T-A-R-R. And I can only guess that that's because her parents were Beatles fans. I'm a Ringo Starr fan. Star, I'm not going to name you Star or Ringo, but that's my tribute to the Beatles, is making your middle name Star. So that's exactly what we're talking about. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend the Nerdist, Chris Hardwick, host of Talking Dead on AMC, will be talking about The Walking Dead coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we're talking about crazy middle names. It's a dumping ground your parents use sometimes to reflect their own hobbies or interests or sometimes family members. Oh, my God, we're getting some great ones. Augustine writes in. His kid's name is, middle name is Jedi.
Jedi?
Here's Eric. My friend just had a baby boy a few months ago, gave him the middle name Rev after the drummer of Avenged Sevenfold, Jimmy the Rev Sullivan. I thought it was a little odd naming your son after someone who just died of an overdose, if you ask me. But his middle name for the rest of his life, he's got to explain, well, it was the nickname of this guy who was in this band.
He's making up another story. You know that.
Yeah.
Rev is his middle name. So we're taking your calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Kate first on line one. I thought this was just a joke. If Kate really did this, I need to have a word with her.
Hey, Kate.
My son's middle name is Danger.
Oh, Danger.
Your son's middle name?
You named him? Friend.
Yes, my husband, it started off as a joke. Sorry. He said he always wanted to use it, and after tossing it around, we decided to go with it.
So you're hoping that his big pickup line for the ladies when he gets old enough is Danger is my middle name.
Correct. You know, we figure, you know, if he doesn't live up to it now, he'll use it later to pull some chicks at the bar.
I always thought her son pulling chicks at the bar. Can't wait for my son to get laid. I always thought that that was just a joke that people made, but you really did give your kid Danger as a middle name.
Really did. Social Security, birth certificate, everything.
You are bad parents.
Danger. Shame on you.
All right. Kate, thank you. Let's go to Robert. He's on line two, and I'm guessing some sort of a sci-fi geek. Hi, Robert.
What's going on?
Hey.
My middle name is Tiberius, and I was named after James Tiberius Kirk, captain of the USS Enterprise.
How about that?
You sound proud of it, Robert.
I've asked about it. Well, I'm more of a Star Wars fan, so that's why I'm sad about it, I guess. But Tiberius is a pretty cool name.
I think it's kind of cool.
When I asked my parents, my mom, I guess, lost a bet, and she got to choose between Tiberius or Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, so, of the two, you're doing better.
Tiberius is better than the alternative.
That's amazing. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that, Robert Tiberius. Let's go to William. William is on line seven. You know, not all of the names are just wacky. Some of them are just confusing. William, welcome to the show.
Hello, William. Hello?
Hello, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Sorry.
What's going on, dude?
Not too much, man. My name's pretty crazy. I grew up with a long Hawaiian name, 36 letters long my entire life. Ku'u aloha, okamalu vilo, ona vai, hanupa nupa.
That's your whole name or that's your middle name?
That's just my Hawaiian name.
Just your Hawaiian name?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm confused, but your real name is William, so you don't have to use all that Hawaiian nonsense, right?
Correct, correct. I go by William. The only legal document that that middle name is on is my birth certificate. The DMV, when I was 16, actually said it was too long to put on my license, so they shortened it for me.
Nice. Wow. Let me hear just the middle name again that you were given as a baby.
Okay, it's Kuhu Aloha Okamalu Vilo Onavai Hanupa Nupa.
Well, aloha to you. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that.
That's a great name.
Here's the opposite of this, by the way, from a Kevin and Bean listener who says, I gave my son the middle name J, just the letter J, after the great Homer Simpson. Bean, you're with me, right? How about
that?
How's that for the shortest of all possible middle names, right?
Why do
it stands for nothing.
Why do parents think that's a good idea?
Is it such a bad name if your middle name is just J?
Well,
it doesn't seem too bad to me. Let's try Jeff. He's on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, party people.
Your middle name?
Maximus.
Maximus.
There you go.
But my last name is Johnson. No joke.
Maximus Johnson.
That's nice. Also your porn name.
My dad actually thought it would be pretty funny.
Really? He thought of that way back when. No, my son's going to have a go-to joke in his name.
Absolutely.
And the thing that surprises me is I would imagine there are a lot of Maximuses out there, but it's people who were born after the Gladiator movie was so popular. But that can't be you, right?
No, I'm in my 40s.
Yeah, you were way before then. That's interesting.
All right.
Maximus Johnson. Sweet.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try, we only have time for a couple more. Let's go to Tammy. Tammy's on line three. Crazy middle names. Hi, Tammy.
Hello.
Your brother's middle name is what?
Easter, as in the holiday.
Your brother's middle name is Easter.
Easter.
What's that about?
My great-grandfather was born on Easter, and when McKinley was president, so his name was Easter McKinley. So my dad decided to name him after his grandfather, and so his name is David Easter.
How about that?
Is that crazy?
What's your middle name, Tammy?
Renee.
Renee. So they gave you a regular one.
Right. So he just goes by David E.
Oh, that's funny.
He doesn't even write it out, or he doesn't even say Easter's his middle name.
Yeah, he just prefers to pretend that it didn't happen. Exactly. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. Let's do Autumn. I think she's got a crazy one like our Hawaiian friend. Hi, Autumn, on line five. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
My middle name is Dawn Megan Mariah Bridget Colleen Cashin.
Are you the next Queen of England? What's going on?
What?
You know, it's funny because I asked my mom a while back why I had so many middle names, and she's like, well, you know, we're royalty in my eyes, so I just wanted to give you so many.
And what?
Every single one of them.
We're royalty in my eyes?
She's a little eccentric.
It sounds like it. I mean, either that or they just couldn't decide. They had so many names that were on the short list, and they just decided to use them all up. But that's crazy. So do you have one that you use when you're filling out paperwork, like at the doctor or something?
Well, yeah, kind of like that one guy who was on earlier. I tried to put all of them on, and the DMV said I couldn't use all of them. So I just shortened it to Autumn Dawn Mariah Cashin. But even still, it's pretty darn long.
Yeah, that's a lot of names. All right, and thank you for the call, Autumn Dawn Mariah Cashin. We appreciate it. KROQ.com is where you go for all the information on the just-announced Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2013, Saturday, April the 6th at the Gibson Amphitheater with our friends Jay Moore and Bill Burr, Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, Brad Williams. Tickets are on sale this Friday at noon. Hell of a show. You know who's not going to be with us is Chris Hardwick, who I guess was otherwise occupied, but we did ask. Hi, Chris. How are you?
What are the dates? Yeah, I think I am.
I think you are, too.
As soon as Talking Dead wraps, I go on the road. So that's
the date is April 6th. But
I'll be out of town. Yeah. Walking Dead last night was amazing.
Yes, it was.
Well, Kevin and I were talking about this earlier, Chris. It sounds like we're just pimping the show out, but every week we come in and go, well, that might have been one of the best episodes of all time. Like, this season has just been insane, right?
Yes, I agree, and I think last night was a very different kind of episode than I think we've seen in a long time, because it was actually kind of almost a little hopeful and kind of beautiful, guys. It was kind of a beautiful episode.
Now, obviously, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. If you're like Lisa May and you haven't seen last night's episode, because we are going to be talking about it. We've been seeing Rick kind of go down the the crazy rabbit hole the last few weeks, but it seems like his encounter last night with his old friend Morgan kind of brought him back a little bit, and you guys did a great job of fleshing out that theory on Talking Dead. Tell me what the consensus was for the panel last night, Chris.
Well, first of all, interestingly, Morgan was only in the first one or two episodes of the entire series, And it was still one of the biggest questions that we ever get for Talking Dead online, is people going, when's Morgan coming back? When's Morgan and Dwayne coming back? And so last night we finally got to see Morgan. And I think, you know, Rick found him at the crossroads of Rick's either going to go way into crazy town or he's going to snap out of it somehow. And I think seeing Morgan in comparison, he was like, oh, crap, yeah, that's okay. Maybe I need to kind of figure some stuff out.
Morgan, but, played by Lenny James.
Yes.
That was an unbelievable scene. I just remember thinking, wow, this is powerful.
Yes, you know, it's watching the character of Morgan, it's sort of like, I think probably what would have happened to Rick if he didn't have the group. And so I think there's a really strong message of, like, this is why it's important to build a community and be with other people and not be alone in the apocalypse. But I loved, and you didn't even really fully get to see it in the episode. We showed it behind the scenes on Talking Dead, but that little, like, that kind of Home Alone death maze that he built was so awesome. There was, you couldn't see it in the actual episode, but there was this crazy pulley system, and it was all color-coded, and it was really, really cool.
It is so hard to put yourself in the mindset of how you would react if you woke up and the world became what it is on The Walking Dead. I mean, there are a lot of different ways that you could go. And Morgan chose one of them, which is just to kind of check out from the rest of the world and just say, I'm just going to be here and just protect my turf and just wait till I die. I'm not going to be involved. I don't trust anyone. I don't like anyone. I don't need anyone. Just leave me alone.
Well, yeah. And he also said something really interesting, which was that he said the weak will inherit the earth. In other words, you know, he felt that he shouldn't have survived, but then here he was, like, being punished or something, or in hell. I mean, his, you know, he had to watch his wife kill his own son. So yeah. He just, like, all the crazy writings on the walls and the concept of clearing people and, but he had a hell of an armory. I mean, they should really go back there for more guns.
He had some weapons. He only took a couple of bags. What's wrong with Rick?
That's what I thought.
Come on! Load up!
But apparently, they loaded up the car. They just didn't show it.
Nah.
I know this information because I can call people who work on the show.
Right.
Which I this do. Voice I'm like, why didn't Rick take more guns? Like, no, he filled up the thing, and they're fine.
This is the voice of Chris Hardwick here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about last night's Walking Dead on AMC and Chris's smash hit show about The Walking Dead, which airs immediately after on Talking Dead. What a great panel last night with Aisha Tyler, who obviously is an uber fan of the comic book and the TV show since day one, and Scott Porter, who you had on from Heart of Dixie. Man, did he have some insightful comments. I was not expecting him to be so great.
He's great. I knew Scott would be good because I've hung out with him at Comic-Con before. He is a comic book fan, and so he's a comic book video game guy, so he's, you know, the show works the best when people come on and they're familiar with the comic book and they watch the show a lot and they have a lot to say, and those two together were a great combination. I mean, I adore Aisha, so, you know.
Yeah, it was a very entertaining episode. Let's talk about the other big thing that happened on last night's Walking Dead. Again, spoiler alert if you're just joining us, and that is the kind of softening a little bit of Michonne, not only in the fact that we saw some personality, but we also saw a little bit of cleavage, Chris, and I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm fine with it. Listen, I remember I moderated a panel for them a few weeks ago, and I was grilling Danai, who plays Michonne a little bit, like, you know, we haven't really seen her be a person yet or a vote. And then after the panel, she came up and she was like, I don't really think you understand Michonne. And it really played out. What she was trying to tell me was, you know, Michonne is really becoming more human in the last couple episodes. And last night, she was totally a person. Like, she was soft. She was sort of played big sister a little bit to Carl, and I loved her in the episode last night.
I thought Carl was going to finally eat it because he was being a dick to Michonne, and you don't want to do that. Yeah, I thought Michonne is going to end this boy, and I want her to, but then he got the picture, and he said, I wanted to remember what my mom looked like, and then I liked him again.
Then you realize he was just a little kid.
What am I supposed to do with this?
He's just a little kid trying to get a picture of his family for Judith, but Yeah, I talked to Greg Nicotero yesterday. He told me a story about how, you know, when they go into the bar and then the walkers are all just kind of sitting there and then they pop up?
Yeah, right. They're not going to get a clean rating. They're not going to get an A on a restaurant rating
anytime soon.
For that place.
Zombies will take you at least to like a B or a C, but depending on how close to the kitchen they are. But I think, Greg Nicotero said he and Scott Gimple, who's one of the producers, had this argument about should there be dormant zombies in there, or would they just be constantly moving? And Greg said, no, they would be moving the whole time. He said Scott had this really compelling argument that they would just go dormant.
Wow.
And then when, you know, like when there was fresh meat around there or people around, they would, you know, like snap back. So it was that was a really cool visual.
That was cool. Isn't it interesting that that's somebody's job is to decide how much the zombies are moving in a restaurant? All right, listen, before we let you go, Chris, you also were moderating the panel at the Paley Center on Saturday night, which must have been super fun with a lot of the cast members there. Was there anything that you learned about the remaining episodes of season three or about season four that you can share with us?
I don't know anything. I just know that it's seriously messed up. That's the only sense that I got. No one will tell me anything. I've asked them not to spoil anything for me, so I don't know. I don't know what's coming up. But obviously, if you watched Talking Dead last night, you know that the preview that we showed from next week is a clip between Rick and the governor.
Yeah, that's what we've been all waiting for.
It's on.
All right, last question for you, this is one thing that did come out of Saturday night that I had not really thought about, but you had some people on stage who said that they always get asked about zombie animals. Are there any zombie animals in the world or no?
According to Robert Kirkman, and this is his universe, that the zombie virus does not transfer over to animals.
Gotcha.
So it's just a human-centric virus.
Walking Dead airs Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. The Talking Dead immediately after. It is a fascinating show. It's a 1-2 punch on Sunday night that can't be beaten. Of course, Chris Hardwick is the host. You can follow him on Twitter at Nerdist and Nerdist.com with so much great stuff going on in Chris's life. Always a pleasure to have you on, sir. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Time before?
No, I have not.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I love Lutonza.
It's a good update, though, Doe. Thank you very much. 8:53 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here now for another look at the show biz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Before I get to the beat, I've got something to give away. You know, it's going on right now, the amazing Paley Fest that the Paley Center always puts on for those of us who love television each and every year.
Hey, Ralph, are these
hey, what, Kevin?
Archives someplace?
Most of them
Walking
are.
Walking Dead fans?
Most of
in the
them
museum,
are.
Right?
In the museum. You can go to the Paley Center there in Beverly Hills, and you can watch it at any time. And now they're also putting them on DVD for purchase, some of them. Not all of them,
nice.
But some of them. So this may be one of the ones that they do if you can't attend the live event. The Paley Fest we're talking about is a two-week program where they take the best of television, past and present, and then they do evenings with the cast and creators of these shows. And if you're a fan of a particular TV show or just TV in general, it's a fascinating evening. You have a great time. In fact, here's a quick email from listener Stephen Scanlon, who wrote, quick note for you, Ralph. I heard you talking about Paley Fest for years. However, I never attended. This weekend, my wife and I cruised down to the Saban and saw the Revolution cast and crew. It was the most interesting live event along those lines I'd ever been to. We had so much fun. Actually, one of the live audience questions was asked by a dude sitting right next to us. Thanks again for the heads up this year. Oh, and of course, fire beer mug, he wrote.
Sure.
As they all do. So it really is a blast. If you want to check it out, you can go to paleycenter.org to see if there's any tickets available for some of the evenings. A lot of them sell out. Like I know Walking Dead was sold out just recently, the one that Chris hosted. Here is some tickets, however, for another TV show that I love. I know Kevin loves it as well. It's called Arrow. It's on the CW.
Yay!
If you are a comic book fan, you don't have to be. Kevin's not, and he loves Arrow, but of course it's based on the legendary character, the Green Arrow. It's a great TV show, one of the most successful transfers of comic book to small screen that I've ever seen. I really enjoy it. If you're a fan as well, you get to spend the evening with the cast and creators of Arrow, happening at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills, happening on March 9th. So make sure you can go on that evening before you call in. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. And I believe I've got two pairs of tickets to give away. So two callers will win. First two callers who get through at that number will get passes to attend the evening with TV's Arrow. My only problem with Arrow, I know it's nitpicking, but Green Arrow, legendarily, of course, the defender of Star City. Star City. That's where he is. Star City. Everybody's got. Superman's got Metropolis. Batman's got Gotham.
Right.
Green Lantern, of course, Coast City.
Sure.
Green Arrow, Star City.
Obviously.
And in the series, they changed it to Starling City.
Oh, they did.
Starling City.
See, that's where it's good not to know the comic.
And I'm like,
because that doesn't bother
me. What possible difference would it make whether it was Star City or Starling City? And Starling City sounds much gayer.
So you could
starlings,
ask that.
Where's Starling? Look at the starlings in the trees. There are just starlings everywhere. Starlings.
You can go to the Paley Fest and you can make somebody held accountable
hey,
for that.
Hey, what's up with Starling City? Why not Star City?
Dagnabbit, you say?
I don't think anyone would say Dagnabbit. All right.
So anyway, there's a little heads up for the Paley Fest. All right, let's get to showbiz news. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what did well and not so well. Jack the Giant Slayer in 3D did okay with $28 million. That may sound like a lot of money to you, you civilian you. But when you factor in the fact it cost around $200 million to make.
Ouch.
They got a long way to go to recoup their production
now
costs.
Now, who's in that? Ewan McGregor's in that, right?
Yes, and Nicholas Hoult.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Giants are in it.
Big
Giants. Mm-hmm. Identity Thief was number two with $9.7 million. 21 and Over, The Last Exorcism Part 2, and Snitch were the top five. Escape from Planet Earth was sixth. Safe Haven. That movie, Safe Haven, was seventh. Silver Linings Playbook was eighth. Good Day to Die Hard was ninth. And then Dark Skies rounding out the top 10. Honey Boo Boo's in trouble with the Girl Scouts. You know, she was selling Girl Scout cookies on her Facebook page to people who were so inclined to pick them up from her and her family. And it included in that you'd get an autographed picture, and I think she autographed the box of cookies as well. Well, the Girl Scouts have come to her and said, hey, you can't do that. You can't sell your cookies online. It's not what this is all about. It's about having your parents take the list into work and force their coworkers to sell. No. It's about the girls themselves learning lessons about life, like people skills, face-to-face salesmanship, that sort of thing. You can't just sell them on the internet. So they've stepped in and they have shut down her selling of Girl Scout cookies on her Facebook page. Another small problem they had, Honey Boo Boo's not a Girl Scout.
She buying them and marking them up?
Yes.
That's a great idea, Kevin.
No, apparently a friend of hers is, so she was selling the cookies online on her behalf, but Girl Scout said, you really need to be a Girl Scout to sell Girl Scout cookies.
Well, most of the parents aren't Girl Scouts,
that's
so stop
true.
It.
How did Girl Scout cookies enter that home and then leave again?
That's
what I want to know.
Good question.
How did Mama June not sit down with just a crate full of Samoas and just power them down? While drinking milk from the teat of an actual cow. How did that not happen? How's any Girl Scout cookie actually leaving that domicile?
Good question. It is like a black hole for food.
It's amazing to me.
Did we ever come up with a consensus on what the best Girl Scout cookie is?
Oh, sure we did. Thin Mint. We all know that.
Oh, please.
Over the Samoa?
Thin Mint is the best Girl Scout cookie.
That's absurd.
It's not absurd. It's fact. It's science.
It's probably the best selling.
It is science. Thank you, Lisa. You know why? You know why it's best selling? Because it's the best cookie. And it's the one people love the most.
It's science.
Science.
I don't think it is.
It's science.
Thin Mints.
Don't make me call the decider. I'll do it. I'll get the decider on the phone right now. I'll get the decider on the
Aren't
phone right
little
now. We'll knock it out.
Flimsy?
No, they're not. They're
a little flimsy.
More flavor in that thin little wafer cookie than in a bundt cake. That's science. They measured it. They measured the flavor of a bundt cake and how
what
much
kind of
flavor they
is
pack
that?
Into a Thin Mint cookie. And the Thin Mint cookie actually contains more flavor.
That doesn't even make sense.
It does.
I can see Kevin arguing for the Samoas.
Yes.
But I can't see you also pooping on the Thin Mints. You have to admit that the Thin Mints are also awesome, don't you?
I'm not saying they're not good. I'm saying it's ridiculous. They're number one.
Well, you said they were flimsy. That's why
they're
I
flimsy.
Maybe...
They're a little flimsy.
They're not flimsy.
They're flimsy at best.
They're awesome at least.
Yoo-hoo!
Do they eat them in Starling City? And real quickly here, this is spectacular. LaToya Jackson, it has been discovered, has started her own talent agency. She's now an agent.
What?
It's called Jatail Enterprises. Jatail Enterprises.
It's probably her middle name.
And she only has three clients.
Are they all Jacksons?
Prince Michael Jackson, Paris Jackson, and Blanket Jackson. Her brother Michael's kids, she has signed them to an exclusive representation deal.
This is just a grab for money, isn't it?
Now we know why Prince Michael Jackson was on Entertainment Tonight. Why all of a sudden they're being pushed to get jobs at their tender ages? The 16-year-old son of Michael Jackson was a correspondent on that show. LaToya negotiated that deal. She's getting a cut of that. She's also made a deal for Paris Jackson to appear on the CW's 90210. Good timing.
Yeah.
That won't be a recurring role.
Doesn't it seem like there's potential for a show business career for those kids, maybe in some capacity, and that they would be better facilitated by an actual working agency, somebody who knows what they're doing?
They have superpower agent LaToya Jackson.
Yeah, what else do they need, Bean?
Anything. How long till they're on Celebrity Apprentice Junior?
No kidding.
Yeah. All right, today's celebrity birthday is Catherine O'Hara, one of my favorite performers from all those Christopher Guest movies and SCTV. She's 59 years old. Actor Michael T. Williamson is 56. That's a ripoff, by the way, his name, by the way, Michael T.
How come?
Because it's not Michael, space, T, Williamson. It's Michael T.
What?
M-Y-K-E-L-T-I, Michael T.
Nope.
Yep, that's a name.
So he also still has a middle name.
I guess.
Assumed. Yeah. Wow, that's weird.
Patricia Heaton's 55 years old. Stephen Weber's 52. Evan Dando of the Lemonheads celebrates his 46th birthday. Jason Newsted, bassist at one time of Metallica, turns 50 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, No Doubt, how about a new album? Huh?
Did they just have
how about
a new album?
No Doubt. How about going to the studio?
Like 3 months ago or something, Kevin? We just had a No Doubt album.
I think that's true, but I think they're going to make another one as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, too. I'm hearing that they canceled all their dates that they had scheduled, and they're going to go back in the studio because they have so many great new ideas. They're going to make a new record, so I think that's a win. I'm excited about that.
Gwen's tweeting out of her on the mic.
Yeah.
No, I haven't, Dave. Take it easy.
Woo! Hand check, Dave. What's going on here?
Oh.
Hey, listen, it's the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday. Today's a very exciting day for us because we were finally able to unveil something we have been sitting on, which is the details for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013. It's coming up on Saturday, April the 6th. Once again, we're going to be back at the Gibson Amphitheater. And we could not be more excited about our friends that are joining us that night for this all-star night of comedy. Brad Williams is going to be there. Lisa, you ready for another lap dance?
I'm totally ready. It was awesome.
Didn't he almost get you pregnant last time he was on the bill? I think he did.
He threatened to.
He tried.
The hilarious Ari Shaffir is going to be on the bill that night. Rob Delaney, who's hilarious. Doug Benson, our friend Bill Burr. Jay Moore. I mean, this is an unbelievable lineup of comedy to get that many great acts in one place for one night. Tickets going on sale this Friday at noon. All the proceeds benefit our great local charities, the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai NICU. And our producer, Dave, has joined us in studio to add some additional information to the Kevin and Bean listeners that we neglected to mention earlier.
Yeah, we also have available, which are normally the pit tickets, but we like to call them How Do You Like Me Now?
How Do You Like Me Now? It says that on the back of your shirt.
Yep, you get a pit ticket, VIP parking, one-hour reception with us. That's the best part about it, right?
That's optional.
Yeah, and a How Do You Like Me Now t-shirt. All four. $99.
That's a good deal.
Come on.
How much are the we didn't
Why
mention
are you
this.
Yelling at people that haven't had a chance to buy them yet?
We didn't mention this earlier. How much are the what are the variations in price for that night at the Gibson, Dave?
Well, the How Do You Like Me Now tickets are $99, like I just mentioned. Orchestra is only $65, Loge is $45, and Mezzanine $25.
So wow, a little something for everybody.
Affordable.
Sweet.
All right, tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon. Again, proceeds going to great local charities. It is always an instant sellout. You will not find a better night of comedy anywhere in these United States in 2013.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Okay, you don't have to come down at all, David. It's actually this Friday at noon.
Where can I get them? I mean, like, where is there...
It's going to be like Ticketmaster. You're going to be selling the tickets through Ticketmaster. You can get all the details at krock.com. That's
Jeff,
all you
can
need.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
no, we don't have. Actually, we don't have tickets printed out or anything yet. Right now,
yeah. Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
Yes, I think yes. a lot of nice hotels near the Gibson you can stay at. Absolutely, sure.
How far is the festival from? The Marriott, Palm Desert, you know?
It's a long ways.
It's like 90 or 100 miles, I would think. You should stay someplace closer to the show.
It's a couple of days' walk for you, Hass.
So anyway, Details at krock.com. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. Kevin and Beans, April Foolishness 2013. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat now as we wind down a Monday show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, it's Tuesday. No, it's not. Nope. Monday. So we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office.
Like we do on Fridays.
Yeah. I'm looking at a story here, and the first word is Tuesday. And
welcome to my life.
That's what I said.
Yep.
Just looked at the word and just said it out loud. Monday, top 10 movies at the box office. Jack the Giant Slayer in 3D was number one at the box office. But I can imagine that is a small consolation to the people at Warner Brothers who invested $200 million into this film because it only made $28 million in its opening weekend, which is usually the highest a movie will ever gross is in its opening weekend.
Kevin hasn't been jumping up and down to tell us what bad movie he saw this weekend. What's going on,
I
Kevin?
Didn't see a bad movie this weekend.
We count on you.
I saw Snitch, which came out
last weekend.
Yeah, yeah, it was the second week this weekend.
It was really good. I was surprised.
Nope.
I was expecting bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's the movie with The Rock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where his kid's in prison, so he has to go undercover with the DEA.
It was good.
I'm not sure it was.
Was it good for humans or just good for Kevin?
Bean, you know the answer to that question.
I'm not positive. Usually I can make that call. Sometimes I know it's bad for most people, but I like it. This one, I'm not sure. I think it's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't put money on it.
Okay.
I liked it.
Snitch was fifth this weekend with almost $8 million at the box office. Jack the Giant Slayer, as mentioned, was number one. Identity Thief, 21 and Over, and The Last Exorcism Part 2 were the rest of the top five. Then Escape from Planet Earth, Safe Haven, Silver Linings Playbook, Good Day to Die Hard, and Dark Skies. If you're feeling a little sad, it's the Monday. You got a case of the Mondays, maybe. You're feeling a little depressed, starting your work or school week all over again. This will make you feel better. Justin Bieber said about his birthday on Friday that it was his worst birthday ever.
Really?
He tweeted the simple words, worst birthday.
Love it.
And you can imagine, I mean, the horror when his giant, expensive birthday party at a club in London was cut short because there was an altercation between Bieber's entourage and the club security. So he had to go back to the hotel and party back at the hotel. You can imagine how horrible that must be. It must be like your grandmother getting hit by a car on your birthday or something like that.
That's as bad as it gets when you have to change venues for your party.
F you.
Can he go through a week without getting into some sort of trouble or altercation or disagreement with somebody?
He's a douche.
Doesn't seem like it, does it?
Nope.
On the same day, his buddy Lil Twist got pulled over again while driving his Fisker Karma on the 101 freeway on Friday. Apparently, the highway patrol pulled him over for making an unsafe lane change.
Stop
lending this guy your car.
Right.
This guy
all he does is cause
Ferrari when that paparazzo was killed by traffic. So stop lending Lil Twist your car, Justin.
That is no way to live.
Lil Twist is right. Pissed because he wasn't invited to the party in London. That's
right. Yeah, could be.
Driving recklessly in Bieber's car. In a related story, you got to love my girl Olivia Wilde for more than just the obvious reasons.
Yeah.
She was talking about the photos of Justin. Did you see him when he showed up in London without his shirt on?
Oh, sure.
When they were waiting for him, he showed up shirtless.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde simply tweeted, God bless her, Bieber, put your effing shirt on. I thought was pretty
good
great.
For her.
Look, I have that same physique. You don't see me walking around with my shirt off outside just to show it off.
You have the physique of a 9-year-old girl?
Yes, he does. She also added to the tweet, unless all of your shirts were lost in a fire, in that case, I feel sorry for you, but go buy a new shirt. So she qualified it just in case. Meanwhile, the Beliebers started to attack her en masse via Twitter, as you can imagine.
Sure.
Olivia Wilde, you are a lesbian or you are too old.
Can't argue with that.
Said one Bieber fan. So, as much as I want Bieber dead, I think I want his fans dead more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they follow him.
And the way they respond, too, like with Patrick Carney, the drummer for Black Keys, like, you should be punched in the face with a brick. I mean, they're not even good at responding with hatred. Make it fun, at least. You are a lesbian or you are too old, Olivia Wilde. Yeah, she's neither of those. Congratulations to Adele. Reports coming out that the Bond producers have already asked her to come up with the title song for the next James Bond movie as well. They were so pleased with her work with Skyfall. If this happens, it'll be only the second artist in Bond history to record more than one Bond theme. Dame Shirley Bassey has done three. She did Goldfinger, Diamonds Are Forever, and Moonraker. So if Adele does another one, it would be the only other artist to ever record more than one. Yeah, why go with something original and exciting, which is the reason everyone liked Skyfall? Let's just go back and do that again. Seems counterintuitive.
As great as Adele is, and as much as I enjoy every song she does, I like the adventure of who's going to get the Bond theme this time around. I think it's neat when it's a different artist every time.
Easy with adventure.
Easy with neat.
It's really not an adventure.
No,
maybe,
but you know,
it's an interesting passing curiosity when you read it. It's not an adventure.
It is. I think it's exciting.
No, it's not an adventure.
To be, that is an adventure.
It's not. It's not for anyone.
He doesn't actually go on adventures.
No, it's not out going out to Santa Fe, New Mexico, looking for buried treasure.
It's okay? Not that.
That's an adventure. Finding out who's singing the new Bond song. It's not an adventure.
I'm surprised to hear you say this, Ralph, because you're a lifelong Bond
exactly,
fan. I'm
yes.
sure that you have yeah. been excited by many of the choices.
No, I'm always interested. I will always read that story and go, oh, that's kind of cool. Can't wait to hear that. It's never an adventure.
But they've taken that away from us now that we know it's going to be Adele again. That's my point.
I think Ralph is objecting to the word adventure being, okay. if but, I could put a fine point on it.
Now we've had this adventure. They told us it was going to be Adele, so now that's today's adventure being. It's like we went spelunking in a dark, dark cave held only by a thin nylon rope before plumbing to our death, and then we found out Adele was going to sing a song. See,
I don't like it.
That.
I don't like it.
You are truly a madman.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Catherine O'Hara from Best in Show and A Mighty Wind. Christopher Guest movies. She's so good. 59 years old today. Michael T. Williamson from Forrest Gump. He was Bubba.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Shrimp stew, shrimp salad, shrimp sandwich, shrimp ice cream.
Didn't
shrimp
he...
Hairnet, shrimp Lamborghini. I forget the list.
Refresh my memory. Part. Didn't he... He was arrested for murder and acquitted, if I remember correctly, right? Wasn't he the guy who was involved in that crazy story?
He was involved in a shooting of some sort.
I do not recall that, but... Might have been quite an adventure.
That would have been.
That would have
been
an adventure.
Yeah.
He is 56 years old. Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond. And now the middle is 55. Steven Weber celebrates his 52nd birthday. Jason Newsted, former bassist for Metallica, turns 50 years old. Evan Dando of the Lemonheads is 46. And director Paul W.S. Anderson from the Resident Evil movies. And let's not forget Death Race 2. He is 48 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take care, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. Amanda Landry will be here.
Oh, yes.
She plays Ralph's wife, Wanda.
She's my TV wife.
On the Joe Schmo Show, which has its finale.
Tomorrow night is the finale. You get to see the whole thing. The whole curtain gets pulled away, and Chase is in for a shock.
They run a boy to suicide is what's going to happen there tomorrow.
I'm not saying how it ends, but it's kind of like the Sopranos. The screen will just go black, and you'll hear a Journey song, and you won't really know what's happening.
Plus, we mentioned today details on April Foolishness 2013, which is going to be April 6th. And Jay Moore is one of the comedians that's going to be on there. We're going to talk to Jay tomorrow morning on the program.
Love him.
And we have more interviews from Doto.
Have you ever been on Lufthansa Airline before?
No, I have not.
Okay, thank you very much.
Lufthansa.
More of that on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean.